we're drunk and we shake hands on it, like, gotta do it, never said it before on stage, put it in the set. And he was like, all right. So the next day comes around, full house, he opens with it, bombs horribly, and then he stays in it. It's like a 7-minute bit, and he can't get out of it, and then he goes into his act, but they hate him so much from the big bomb up top, and he just bombs the whole thing, got fired for the weekend.
No.
Yeah, and he blamed me. I was like, what? I didn't tell you to open with it, you chooch.
What does that mean? I don't know what that whole song means. Man, it was fucking good. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. It was a fucking banger. I've been listening to that again. It was a fucking banger. That band, in general, Counting Crows, was fucking awesome. If you're watching on YouTube, I just played fucking Round Here by Counting Crows. Today's episode is featuring Mark Norman, comedian extraordinaire. Mark just recorded his second special, his third hour of stand-up comedy called Out to Lunch. You can find it on YouTube now. There's a link right at the bottom of the screen. And I'm also going to put a fucking box at the end of this episode so you can just click on it and watch it. But I'm going to tell you right now, do me a favor. I would say just go watch that fucking thing right now. Put this episode on pause or just stop and go watch Mark Norman's special, Out to Lunch, available right now. He released it on his own, on his YouTube. It's already got a fucking million hits. Mark Norman is fucking hilarious. He's a tough follow. I mean it. Go watch it right now. Do you have an hour? Go watch it right now. Or, if you're not going to do that, do me this favor instead. Tweet out right now or do a quick Instagram story and just say, hey, everybody, I'm about to watch Mark Norman's, at Mark Norman's, new special, Out to Lunch, tonight or tomorrow if it's late at night. Who wants to watch it with me? And then put a link to Mark Norman's fucking special. Do me that favor. Do me that favor for making you this episode. Do me that favor. Tweet that out right now. And if you've already watched it, be like, hey, I fucking loved Mark Norman's special, Out to Lunch. Who else has watched it? And fucking put a link to it. That's how you pay Mark back for doing this episode. And it was a good fucking episode, everybody. By the way, this episode is brought to you by Sheath Underwear.com. You fucking idiot, Ari. Did a whole goddamn ad read and didn't even say the fucking correct website. I put sheath.com, promo code Ari. It's sheathunderwear.com. You fucking idiot. And then you're like, sometimes you're like, oh, these fucking advertisers. Listen, advertisers, I'll meet you halfway. I fucked up. I get it. I'll promote your product. And if I don't feel able to honestly promote your product, I will turn you down for an advertisement. If I don't think I can actually tell my listeners, hey, you should get this product, it's a good product, then I'll just turn you down. And I will say the fucking some good things about it. I might mention some fucking bestiality in the middle of it. I might mention that fucking Segura gets pegged in the ass by Christina. That might be a thing, but I'm never going to fucking shit on the product if it's a decent product, and I'm going to say the website where you can get it. And I fucked up last week and I said sheathunderwear.com. It's sheathunderwear.com, not sheath.com, you fucking moron. So congratulations, the good people at sheathunderwear.com. Use promo code Ari for 20% off your first order because you just got a free fucking ad because the big guy messed the fuck up. That's right, advertisers. If I don't say the website correctly, I'll give you a fucking freebie. But you don't get a freebie if I fucking promote bestiality. That's part of the fucking deal. So go to sheathunderwear.com. Motherfucker. Sheathunderwear.com. Promo code Ari for 20% off your order. It's fucking good underwear, too. Fucking. There'll be a link, I guess, at the bottom of the fucking screen. Or if you're listening on iTunes. There'll be a link there. Sheathunderwear.com. Fucking moron. I'm unprofessional. That's why I went to this job. So listen. Today's episode is with Mark Norman. Like I said, he has a new special out called Out to Lunch, produced on his own. I'm going to do it in the second of these series of podcasts I do, Five Things I Can't Wait to Do Again. So it's Mark Norman's Five Things I Can't Wait to Do Again. And some of these are going to be related to the fucking situation we're in right now, but we're going to be doing this podcast, this segment, fucking a year or two from now. I mean, if you asked me 6 months ago, Ari Shaffir, what are five things you can't wait to do again? I'm like, well, one, I can't wait to, well, I was heavily touring at the time, so I was like, can't wait to be at home for a fucking month straight. That'd be one. What else could I not wait to do again? Things that I do anyway. Going to some fucking cool jazz club in the city that I love going to. This bar that has fucking amazing jazz one night a week. Going to this place. One of the coolest experiences. That's one thing I couldn't wait to do again. Is fucking going back to Asia to a couple countries I haven't been that I skipped out on. Laos. Malaysia. I really don't have any interest in Malaysia. But that one place that fucking Tom Rhodes told me about, I want to go too bad. Burubatu? What's the name of the fucking town? Why don't I have my fucking... Why don't I just take any notes, you idiot? That's why you mess up and say sheath.com instead of sheathunderwear.com. Fucking ignoramus. The guy who started that company is a fucking army vet. Imagine if I was under his command. There's no way the rest of the bunk wouldn't do so many extra push-ups to make up for fucking this idiot's lack of organization. It was one of those things. Now everybody gives 100 push-ups because Ari couldn't get his fucking ass together. I'd be like, guys, I got to be honest with you. I don't think he should be taking that on you. I would never shape up or ship out. I would just keep saying later, like, guys, he's a fucking tyrant. This fucking drill sarge, right? I mean, I'm on your side. I wouldn't have. If you guys did anything wrong and I had to do push-ups, I wouldn't blame you. I'd blame the drill sergeant. So you guys, we're all in this together. Around here, I sit on under the gun. Dude, that whole fucking grunge movement of the 90s, and this was a good one. Counting Crows is a good one. It was so emo. If you go watch that video, it's so emo. It's on train tracks with torn jeans, just fucking shorts and fucking boots. Just like, I'm under the gun. He fucked so much pussy. Adam Duritz, is that his name? Fuck, that guy was a fuck machine. Under the gun, round here. Guys, can you subscribe to my RSS feed, wherever you guys are listening to this? Do you mind subscribing and telling some friends about this fucking podcast? As commutes have gone down, fucking so have podcast numbers across the board. So do me a favor and tell some people about this podcast. And then also, don't forget to go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/skeptictank, where you can not hear the music. but in return you get some fucking video. So Mark Norman is walking around Manhattan, and we did this podcast as he walked around a fucking deserted Manhattan. So in these five, Mark Norman's five things I can't wait to do again, the last one is Robert Kelly's five things I can't wait to do again, the next one might be Tom Segura's five things I can't wait to do again, or Tim Dillon's, or who knows who, Scholl's. The five things are going to be loose, and Mark didn't even get to the five, but it was still a fucking fun podcast. It's just going to pull us back. If you're worried about, like, he didn't say exact five things, then it's like, it's not the point of the podcast. But we had a good time. He walked around the fucking West Village of New York, and it was fucking cool to actually see everything, just see the lack of people out there and stuff. And I just caught it. It was really just catching up with a friend, with a hilarious friend, just cracking jokes. And it's just a fucking really good episode. Again, make sure to check out Mark Norman's special. Also, I have a Patreon, patreon.com/skeptictank, where I put up two episodes last week. Travel story that'll eventually be part of my book. And then some kind of like, whatever. Let's start the episode, you guys. Let's just start the episode. Why go on longer? Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 387, right? Let's just fucking start. Make sure to watch Norman's special. It's the only reason I did it. He was just on this podcast fucking beginning of April, under 2 months later. And I did that because he has a new special out that I think everybody should watch. Guys, he's a fucking really, really good comic. You should go watch it with your friends, with your family, whoever you're holed up with. Or just tell your friends, like, let's press play at the same time on Apple TV. You know, hit the YouTube, go to Mark Norman, Out to Lunch, and fucking listen on speakerphone with your friend. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 387. Mark Norman's Five Things I Can't Wait to Do Again with Mark Norman. Start now! I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner. I am waiting at the counter for the man to pour the coffee. And he fills it only halfway. And before I even argue, he is looking out the window at somebody coming in. First of all, congratulations on the special.
Oh, thanks. It's cooking, huh?
I assume I'm fucking recording. Let me sit here.
Yeah, never know.
5 minutes. Just gonna say, so I could double that part up again if I need to. But like, yeah, fucking congratulations. That's cool as shit. Almost
thanks.
A million hits already. Probably by the time this comes out, you'll have a million.
I hope so. Yeah, it's at 850-ish, and
yeah, for sure.
It's been out less than a week. So,
I'm
happy with it.
Stoked. What's the response? I mean, obviously it's going to be great. People are asking me like, have you seen it yet? I'm like, no, but it's like people ask me about these specials of comics that I know.
I know.
So it's like, I'll watch it. I'll for sure watch it probably before this comes out so I can do some of the introduction. But you're just like, no, yeah, that guy's funny.
Oh yeah.
Like, well, how's it going to be? Like, yeah, he works out all the time and he's funny. So like, where would it, it's not going to be a failure.
Right. Yeah. I know what you mean.
They're like, you see Louis' special? I'm like, I saw like 2 weeks before.
I got it.
Yeah.
Louis is different because you're like, all right, I got to pay for it, and I want to see if he addresses everything. But I've seen most of it live anyway. But it's still fun to watch because he's a wanted convict or whatever the hell.
It's just interesting to see like the order, what they choose to close on.
Yes.
Like that.
The music, the opening, the credits. I like all that stuff.
Just like looking around the set. You know how they say you can tell everything in a movie by the first 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Everything the director wanted you to see, you know, or
right.
How to view it. So it's like that with specials. Like you just kind of look around like, okay, cool shots. That's annoying. Sounds off. Okay, great.
Exactly. Like I'm not a huge Carmichael fan, but I want to see what Bo Burnham did, kind of.
No, I mean, for sure. He was one of the first ones to do the okay, I almost have no problem at all. I have problems discussing comedians.
Yeah.
I have no problem at all discussing the way stuff is shot, like pros and cons. I almost feel like it's separate, you know?
Yeah, same.
Or like, I like that. I'm like, I could say about a good friend, like, I didn't like the way they shot this, and I don't feel like I'm attacking them in any way.
Yeah, weird choices.
6 feet. That was a fucking half a foot the guy passed you.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, it's the village. Bikers. It's getting real laid back out here, and I'm telling you, I'm enjoying it.
Why?
Because I've got what they call quarantine fatigue. I'm ready. I'm done. I've been out here every day. I jog every day. I go outside every day. I drink out here, and I'm not. I think it's fine. I don't know. I think you got to have a pre-exposed or whatever pre-existing condition. Blah blah blah. I don't think I have any. So I'm good. I'm ready to get on some flights.
Are you really flights?
Oh yeah. I talked to Andy Haynes. He flew from LA to New York. He was like, it was great.
My only thing is pre-existing conditions is also like just any low immunity. So it's like if you had lack of sleep the night before, like, oh, yeah, that's going to make you susceptible.
That's true.
Like,
that's true.
Whenever I get sick before this, it was because I flew.
Interesting.
It's like, you know, less sleep around a bunch of coughing Chinamen.
Right. Yeah, the Wuhan cough. But I mean, I don't know. I rarely get sick. I'm always on the road. I never wash my hands. I'm always touching stuff. I eat off other people's plates. I drink off their drink. I eat shit off the ground.
You do.
I'm a raccoon here.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. I'd just like to say this podcast is brought to you by Bullet Rye. Bullet Rye. Started drinking it late night at the Cellar with Mark Norman and Sam Morril and Joe Mackey. And I knew I was going to be doing this with you, so I figured I'd get some Bullet.
Oh, wow. I just bought a new bottle of Bullet. That's so funny.
Fucking massive. When I got it on, I didn't realize how many liters this was. I was like, that's about right. It's so fucking big.
Yeah. Oh, that's the green one. That's the rye, huh?
That's the rye. But that's what they got, Bullet Rye on the Rocks. And I was like, it's what started me drinking whiskey with you guys and Michelle, too, I guess. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Whiskey on the Rocks. Wolf. Okay.
Wolf can put them back. Yeah. The Bullet, it's not like the most high end bullshit, blah, 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 but it's probably the best tasting, I think, on ice.
It's great.
It's great.
It's so smooth.
So smooth. Just two ice cubes and you're good.
By the way, this is not really a sponsor. You can shit on them if you want. I would just have it.
No. Okay. The hangover will hit you, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good bourbon or whiskey or whatever, rye, whatever it is.
Yeah. I can't really tell the difference unless I drink them back to back between the rye and the whiskey. I'm like rye and the bourbon. I'm just like, huh?
Years ago, me and Che were getting sloppy back when Che was like accessible.
Sounds like it's accessible. Yeah, nobody would return a text.
Yeah, exactly. This is years ago. We were just kind of just drinking to drink, one of those. You know, back when you had no worries and you would just drink on a Tuesday for the hell of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "I like Belvedere." I was like, "Ah, shut up! You don't know anything about Belvedere." And he's like, "I swear to God, I can tell." And I go, "I bet you can't." He probably won't want me talking about this. But Liz got involved, and she was like, "All right, fuck it." So she lined up two shot glasses, and he turned around, and she poured Smirnoff shit, whatever the shit one was, in one, and then Belvedere in the other. He took both shots, and he got it wrong.
Oh, two? There was only two options, and he got it wrong? It wasn't like six, and he had to guess the one?
He got it wrong. It was a 50-50, and he gave me the money right there.
What's more rewarding than that?
I know. I love it. It's funny. These black guys get all like sanctimonious about their liquor. Like, I like this shit. This is what the real stars drink. And I'm like, shut up. It's all just poison.
Yep. Yeah. It's amazing how much brand loyalty. Remember that old Penn and Teller show?
Bullshit.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, can you tell like real water? And they just filled up like fine water, containers with like tap water.
Yeah.
And people are like, this is lovely. And here's why. You can tell it's just a cleaner or whatever. Fucking phony rich idiots.
I know. It's all bullshit. And then you start wondering, well, if Che had gotten it right, he would have just gotten it on a guess.
Exactly. So, one and two.
Yeah.
Six different kinds for that. Yeah.
I know. People do that all day long. They do that with everything. Domino's is better than Papa. That's all shit pizza on a dough.
The only time I saw the other way is, remember Kathleen McGee, big chubby comic from Vancouver?
Kathleen McGee.
She was lived in L.A. for a while.
No, that sounds familiar. Was she redheaded?
No. Black. Tits McGee. Who's fucking yelling at you?
Just random neighbors.
Hey, Big J, I'll go back to this for a second, but Big J said the homeless are getting more aggressive there because they know nobody wants to touch them.
Oh, completely, yeah. And they own the streets because everyone else is... It's just scared to go outside, so they're just brazen.
Them and the coyotes. So she said she could tell water apart, like bottled water, and I was like, "No, you can't." And we got six or seven different bottles of water because she was like, "I don't like not Dasani. What are the natural ones? I think the square bottle. I think she said Fiji." She goes, "I don't
Fiji.
Like
Fiji."
And I was like, "No way." And we lined them up six. She got them all. She knew which.
Wow.
She's better. She goes, "This is Fiji. This is Dasani. This is whatever." And I was shocked.
Wow, I'm shocked as well, and she couldn't have guessed that because it was too many.
Too many, and and it wasn't better or worse. It was like this is this kind, crazy.
You know, it'd be a fun one to take some Portland queef hipster cunt and do coffee because they all blow each other about the coffee. This granule is from Brazil, and this is Ethiopian jizz, and all that. And you're like, all right, I bet if I put Starbucks in there, I bet you would be thrown off.
That'd be a good show. Can I just name it? It'd be called Fuck You with Mark Norman.
Yeah, but if they get it right, they get to yell fuck you right to the face.
Yeah, and make you drink their shit for a month. You have to go to one of these three coffee shops. Yeah, you can't go to Starbucks. You're like, fuck, right. I hate this punishment.
Yeah, 1 ounce is $9.99, and you got to wait 6 minutes while the douche with the mustache does the whole press compress bullshit with all the metal twists and knobs.
Hey, hold on a second. I'm going to try to take my Wi-Fi off and turn the Ethernet on.
Where the hell is Becky?
She's gone. I think we're just recording now.
All right, it worked.
It worked.
What is Ethernet? What's the difference?
Oh, yeah. I can already hear you better.
Sounds cooler. Ethernet.
It does, right? Ethernet, it's just a plug-in. I got a plug-in to the Adobe Audition. Close that. Close everything. Close everything. It's just a plug-in, so it doesn't, like, you know, the Wi-Fi goes up and down sometimes?
Yeah.
And in my parents' house, so it's fucking, you know, their house is ancient, can't go too far before you start losing signal. So I just got a 50-foot cord. I'm going to do some of these in the lawn.
Ooh, oh, now we're talking. Oh, so Ethernet is just the cord. It's not wireless.
Yeah, right. Plugs into the fucking box.
Got it. Great. So, the mainframe.
Yeah. So just real quick again before, because I want everybody to watch your special. I think it's so cool that you're doing it on your own.
Oh, thanks.
And also doing it on your own. I think a good idea to do it on your own. I'm sure you talked to Sam about it, Sam Morrill.
Yeah,
in your own channel instead of someone else's channel, where it's like you'll now get the subscriptions.
Yeah, exactly. And everything has gone way up. The views have gone up. The subscriptions have gone up, which I didn't even think about. And now every time I post something on YouTube, people get a notification and they watch it instantly. And they like the special a lot, so now they're watching and now they trust me. You know, so like, oh, if he puts something up, it should be pretty good. And
it's an interesting thing. I noticed that with Rogan. Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I just totally didn't even think about that, and I'm so glad I did it that way. I was on the verge of tears when everybody shot me down. Comedy Central's like, we can't do it, sorry, and Netflix,
what?
Obviously.
Wait, Comedy Central, the YouTube said no?
Yeah, they said, I mean, Sam kept bitching, hey, nobody will have me, please help me out, and he even had them. I had no one.
Wow. Wow. And you've got a bigger name than Sam.
I think we're pretty neck and neck, but I think and his did well. So I was like, oh, I'm a shoo-in because we're very similar.
It's amazing. All they do is go like, we can't have white guys right now. And then it's like, all right, we'll take a chance on one white guy, like mid-level to below. And then they're like, wow, it's massively successful. It's like, all right, well, we've did enough of that now. No reason to do it anymore.
I know. And now the whole company's folding and you're like, you cunts, if you just let me in and let us tell you what to do, it would have worked out, you idiots. But yeah.
God, there's so many times with so many different companies. I was like, can you just let me tell you what to do?
Yeah, I know. And so I was so crushed when they wouldn't have me. And now, I mean, it's like that old story where the kid wants to go to war or the kid wants to go horseback riding and he falls off the horse, breaks his leg. Then a war breaks out and he's like, shit, thank God I broke my leg. Whatever that old wives' tale by the sea is, you know.
I've never heard that story in my life ever, but I believe you didn't just make it.
It's one of those Aesop Nazi fables or whatever.
Fables, yeah.
Yeah, but now it all worked out. Blessing in disguise. That's the term.
Yeah, but what I noticed with Rogan was, like, a lot of people go on his podcast, right? Comics, good and bad. Comics to full comics. And the bumps they would get off it a lot of times were, it's like, oh, we liked you on Rogan's podcast. But, like, if they didn't like your stand-up, they're like, but we're only going to listen to you on Rogan's podcast.
Yes,
and if they
yes.
did like your stand-up, then, like, oh, this guy's a legitimate comic.
Right. But the key is both. Why can't we do both? You know, why does everybody think, oh, I'll be a podcast guy or I'll be a stand-up guy? Why can't you kill on both or at least learn how to?
Yeah, my problem is I'm not as good on podcasts.
No, you're good.
I'm okay. I'm good, but I'm not like rarely do I have like, wow, crazy stories, great tags all the time. I get too slow on podcasts.
I know, but that I think that's your strong point, is that you're so conversational, you're so mellow that it feels like you're actually hanging out with Ari.
Good point. All right, you talked me back off the ledge.
Yeah, I mean, also, when you show up, I've been on Kill Tony with you, I've been on all these other ones. When you walk in, or Legion of Skanks, the fucking place goes nuts. They probably think you're going to show your asshole or something. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, but hey.
You're probably right.
that's a move. That's your move.
Well, I came up behind you naked on Kill Tony, right? You were there. Were you there?
Yeah, a couple times I've seen you naked on some.
It's such a great walk-in.
Well, for certain people, not for Bobby Lee.
Yeah, that's his closer. That's my entry. His closer is my opener.
Yeah.
But yeah, congratulations on the fucking success, and I'm glad you fucking did it. And what's this now, special? How many hours, including CDs?
This will be my third hour, and feels good. And I feel like my CDs are pretty good. My second special, the Schumer produced, people liked it. It was better cut up, but as a whole, nobody liked it. And this one, I feel like I got the set and the video working, and I finally nailed it.
Isn't it interesting how much you learn from shooting stuff, and then and then seeing the final product where you're like, oh, made a mistake there. I can correct that next time.
Yes, yes. I totally try to learn from my mistakes. And just like all those bullshit documentaries you hear about the guy who invented Coca-Cola, you know, oh, he failed 8 million times and finally got it. That's how I feel about this special. I finally got it. Mm-hmm. And boy, is it a relief. And people are enjoying it. And you get the underdog factor.
Absolutely correct. I've just lost that recently, and now people are really hurt, attacking me hard.
Wait, what do you mean? How'd you lose it?
I think I became eventually, I was like successful long enough, and people are like, ah, fuck you, you're not an underdog anymore. I'm like, I never had anyone's help.
I think the Kobe thing.
Everyone's rooting for me, and now they're like, ah, well, I want you to fail.
The Kobe thing brought you back down to you know, scumbag underdog level.
Yeah, that's nice. That is nice. If people don't understand, like, they don't know what comedy's like in New York on a day-to-day level, where it's like basements and like underground and fucking dark, and like the people watching it. I really compare it all the time to, remember Batman's origin story?
Sure, it killed his parents.
Yeah, it killed his parents because they were out watching fucking black music in a bad part of town.
Ah,
you know, they were slumming it, and it was like fucking dark shit. And then they found themselves in a bad part. That was the comedy's in New York. People go there like, I'm gonna see some fucking evil shit on stage, and it's gonna be great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's half the battle. I mean, look at George Carlin, piss, shit, fuck, motherfucker, and tits. I mean, that was why people bought it.
Yeah. Yeah, and a bunch of other people are like, this is disgusting. And you're like, great, you keep saying that, you're not wanted here anyway.
Right. And that's another thing me and Sam were talking about is he's like, I watched your special because I've got tranny, I've got black, I've got gay, I've got all these, you know, touchy topics. And he's like, have you gotten any flack? And I was like, no, because I'm on YouTube. So I'm already at the bottom. They, like, you can't take anything away from a YouTube guy. How cruel would that be?
Yeah. Jay said this. He was like, our agent Justin was trying to get Jay to do like a sitcom, a picture sitcom, and Justin had to be like, Jay had to be like, Justin, as soon as I get on NBC, they will come over my backlog, and the show will be over. Why are we wasting our time? There is no question. You can only go, and this level you can go to is great, but like, you can't be this mainstream guy if you're an outsider. It's one or the other.
It's one or the other. And I mean, how many times you've been on a pod with Jay and he said the N-word unnecessarily? I mean, Jay's one of the funniest guys ever, but he will say that. It was something about having a Puerto Rican 2 inches next to you gives you real freedom to say the N-word in his mind.
And the fun thing is, too, for us and for, like, Skanks fans in general, it's like when you say it unnecessarily, in your head you just go, like, it's almost like, you know how when you curse too much on stage, you can hear yourself?
Right.
Like, I could curse. I've been saying fuck, like, every other sentence there.
Right,
and you're just like, oh, I got to pull that back.
Right.
And there you're like, ah, that was unnecessary. I'll do it a little less. But in the mainstream, they're like, no, you're out.
There's
no correcting
it. Oh, yeah. Plus, though, that guy who popped Shane Gillis, whatever his name is, he hates those Skanks guys, so they're already on the chopping block. He's just, that guy's got his hand on a red phone right now waiting.
He wrote up a thing on Skankfest, and he wrote a piece on me, and somebody sent it to me, and I didn't know it was him, and I was like, yeah, finally somebody gets my comedy. And then they're like, no, he's shitting on you. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, I didn't understand that at all. I thought he was bragging about how cool I am. And that's the thing, like, those guys just don't get that. It's just like atheists be like, you're wasting your time in church. And Christians are like, yeah, of course, it's great.
Right.
And then vice versa. Right. Christians are like, you're going to die alone. And you're like, yeah, right. It's awesome.
Yes, exactly. Leave me to die. Let me alone. Why does this bother you? If you're going to heaven, what do you care what I'm doing?
Yeah. So let's do this podcast. This is what I want to do. We've already been doing it, right, by the way. But again, congratulations on Out to Lunch. No, I misquoted.
Yes.
Great.
That's it.
God, I'm one of the worst MCs of all time.
Nailed it.
So everybody, watch that. At the end of this, on the YouTube version of this, I'm going to put one of those two boxes at the end. One of those will be Out to Lunch. So as soon as you're done with this podcast, even actually right now, I'll put a link at the bottom. Just fucking stop watching this right now and watch Out to Lunch. Get back to this later.
And hey, just put it on. Leave it playing. Turn the sound off. You know, take a shower and leave it playing. I don't even care if you watch it. Just put it on in your living room and then go to bed. Just let it run. Leave it on for the dog.
Oh, yeah. You get some cash that way. And honestly, also, you guys have social media followers. You got 10 or 20 or 50 followers, you know, friends. Tell them just, hey, guys, I'm about to watch this. Even before you watch it, just say, I'm about to watch a special. Everybody I trust guarantees me it's funny. So you guys should watch it. Put a link and then just fucking go about your day.
Here.
Okay. So now, there's a series I'm doing. Just Mark Norman's Five Things I Can't Wait to Do Again.
Doing
with Bobby
Kelly.
And it's all it is just like, what are you thinking about? What, just generally, what are you thinking about? You wish, just wish fulfillment kind of shit.
Now I feel horrible. I should have thought about this further. Once you texted me, I said, that's a great idea. And I never thought about it again.
Don't worry about it. You must have something where like you found yourself.
Of course.
For me, as I was setting this up, I was like, I miss drinking whiskey with the late night comics at the Cellar.
Oh, that is the best. That is the best. That's something special. That's a magical thing. When the shows are done, the crowd dissipates, and it's just you kind of own that whole restaurant. And you and the comics are the loudest people in there, and you're cracking each other up, and you're saying horrific shit, but they can't throw you out because you fucking work there.
You're a regular, yeah. They kind of like it. Yeah, you say something too loud. Like, look at that slut!
Yeah.
People are like, whoa. You're like, ah, I own this place. Pretty much we didn't.
It's one of the first times in my life, and probably most comics' life, where there's a placard on the table saying, only these people can be here and you can't. We never get shit like that, you know? Maybe at a wedding, but... You know, where else can you go and have a table just for you? And if someone else sits down, there's a piece of plastic saying, get out of here, beat it.
That's the best they have that, too, because it even if you're, like, uncomfortable, like, I don't know how to tell this person to get out of here. I guess they're friends with him.
Right.
You can just report to the sign, like, hey, look, it's not me. It's this
dude. Yeah.
Nothing I can do about it.
I know. I wish you could stay, but, yeah, rules are rules, fatty.
Yeah. Yeah. Those nights are great. Che showing up sometimes at like 1 a.m. and you're like, yeah, we're drinking.
Right. Wolf is already slurring and
Wolf slurs. Lisa's fighting with everybody.
Right.
Fun night.
Yeah, Greer comes in and outdrinks all of us.
And goes on stage. I'm like, how are you even standing up, let alone killing?
Those are the magic nights. I mean, I've hung with Chappelle, Louis, Jon Stewart. I mean,
it is a great equalizer.
Burr.
Stewart doesn't drink, does he?
No, I don't think he did, but he hung. He hung out, and then we convinced him to go on, even, and he went on and bombed.
That's great. That's great, too. We're like, look at this legend, and you're like, this is what networks don't understand. Like, you need some practice, dude. You can't just...
I know.
It's not like... You don't just have it.
Yes, the crowd was completely confused, too, and he immediately, as a comic does, 4 minutes in, went into 30-year-old material. He had to pull that parachute.
Yeah, we're like, I'm not comfortable not doing well. Let me go back. That's hilarious.
Remember
the night Burr was there and he was just like sloshed. You were sitting with him. I would think it was Sober October. It was fun. And it was just let's drink. I was so pissed I couldn't drink. And he was like, fuck you with you sober idiots. I'm drinking for all of you.
And he's pointing at the table. He's like, I don't know any of those motherfuckers anymore.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So what would I want to do?
This isn't even the biggest things. It's just like my aunt said, like, I wish, because she's old, so she can't go to a place. She's like, I wish I could go to the supermarket, which is something she barely ever does anyway. But it's just something you find yourself like, I miss that.
All right, I think I got a few, but I'm going to give you a bundle as a one thing, but it comes in a bundle.
Okay.
All right. I miss walking around with a buzz going and then hitting a diner and ending your night at the diner with the big laughs. You know, you got the weird ethnic waiter. You're fucking with him. He's fucking with you. You get some diner beers. You get like a meatloaf, something that's way out of your hunger range, and you just chop it up all night. Then you get a cup of coffee, and before you know it, it's 4 a.m., and you stumble home, and you wake up at like 2 the next day.
Dude, those nights with you I've had, talking shit about comics. I'm not going to say any names. Don't worry about it. But it's just fun being like bitter with a friend.
Yeah,
And it was always like, one more block. All right, one more block.
Yes. You don't want it to end because when it ends, you got to go back to reality and sorrow.
Yeah. But the fun thing is, you don't really have any responsibility before like 8 p.m. on a day-to-day level. Like, we kind of
get
to bed, but like, we don't have to unless we have a meeting.
I know, but we're so neurotic that if I have if I look at my calendar and it says, call your agent at noon, I'm like, it weighs on me for like 2 days because I just have some obligation.
Dude, I got real free when my manager called me and she said like, hey, I got to talk to you about this. And we started talking about it or something. And then I was like, I mean, she surprised me with the call, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
And then I stopped her. I dealt with one thing. I was like, hey, Sam, I'm actually way too high for this, and I'm not going to be able to give you proper answers here. Can we do this later? I just laughed. He's like, yeah, I'll call you tomorrow. I'm like, I didn't expect you to call. I'm doing this.
Oh, you know, another thing I miss is green rooms. See, none of this is relatable to the civilian, but
right.
I just miss when you know, sometimes you got a green room and you got a host in there who's kind of weird and you don't really know him or her, and you're like, oh, hey, what's
comedy
up?
Comedy club is that way a lot.
Yes, yes, but I'm talking about on the road.
Oh, okay.
You're on a road gig and you're in the green room and it's like you brought the feature and the host is cool as shit and you're just, the shows are done. Or you're between shows, and you do that thing with the waiter where you're like, all right, fuck it, bring in a whiskey. And you just chop it up in the green room for so long and having so much fun laying on that couch. And then you get a knock on the door, and people are like, hey, the cleaning guy's here. You got to get out. Like, it's 2 a.m. You're like, oh, shit, sorry. And then you leave, and you're in the middle of a mall, you know, and you got a buzz
yeah, it's like,
going.
Oh, it's bright.
Yeah.
Especially on a Thursday show where you're like, you're out till like, you know, 11:15 and people are still there.
Yes, yes, you know, exactly.
Movies letting out next door and you're like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's another thing. Going to movies with friends, I love, I just miss restaurants.
I was missing that recently. The idea of like, I keep thinking like, how do I come back to New York and do this? Like, what can I do? And I keep like, oh, yeah, I can't do that. Oh, yeah, I can't do that.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm like, okay, I won't do the comedy clubs. I'll just go to a movie. I'm like, no, that's wait. That's a long time coming. But yeah, like, that's it. Fun. You know what I was thinking about? That fucking awful ghost movie we saw, Me, You, and List.
Oh, how fun was that? Sitting in the back trashing it because it was so bad.
It was so bad. And it was so like heralded in that like, the reviews were all so great.
I know. I'm so sick of those reviews, those like fleur-de-lis and those weird wings, you know, gold wings. And it says like blew them away at Cannes or the Edinburgh Film Festival. And you're like, all right, I don't trust any of you anymore.
Once Jenny Slate / Dave Chappelle happened, where Dave Chappelle, and honestly, this last special of his, I mean, I was blown away. It was start to finish amazing.
Which one was this?
The Alphabet People.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was great. That was great.
The guy with the shotgun going through my yard.
The school shooting chunk was, you're teaching these kids what to do if there's a school shooting.
Yeah, 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 instructing them great. How to do it better. So it's like, and that got like 16% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I was like, wow,
right.
And I'm a comedian. So granted, maybe I'm in the wrong, I'm not a regular person. You know, maybe I'm like too inside baseball. But like, I loved it.
Yeah, same. And that just shows you right there that the industry sucks. They're full of shit.
And then this special was like, somebody's like, I'm just trying my best. And it was all the reviews like, even she fails a lot, but even when she does, it's so cute. I'm like, what? That's an amazing review. And she got 100%. And then I'm like, oh, why are we even reading what they say anymore?
I know. I said this to Bill Burr once, and he was like, you got to use that, but I'm too much of a pussy. I always want to say to these guys, just show me the same respect you would show a tranny. You know, like, be as nice as you are to them, to me. I dare you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I can't say that anywhere, obviously, except for to you on a public forum. But
my just, audience knows.
Like, you know, you see, sometimes I'll trick my friends. I'll be like, can you believe this guy did this? And then they're like, that guy should burn in hell. I'm like, yeah, that black guy. And they're like, whoa, he's black. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah. Why do you tell me that ahead of time? I'm like, because you're supposed to treat everybody equally. That's your whole thing, you cunt.
Oh, I love reversing it on purpose.
Oh, like, this guy did this. Best.
Like, what? How dare you? Oh, I'm sorry. This guy was this woman comic that you all know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. Wow. I know.
Have you ever had anything that people tell you to like do that on stage, and you're just like, no? But even people who respect Rogan tells that. Burr told me once, and I never was able to make it work. We were talking about friends. Me, DeRosa, and Burr were in Edinburgh just drinking whiskey. You got to do Edinburgh one day, man. 1 year.
You think? I mean, the only reason I haven't is because it's 30 days, and I have commitment issues.
I mean.
Uh-oh. What happened? I feel like you fainted.
No, I don't know what commitment. You bring your lady for a week in the middle.
I just get nervous about momentum. I feel like I don't know. I feel like I'm leaving to New York for too long. What's the hog doing? Did somebody break in? I don't know. I panic. Is my mail piling up?
Yeah, it's crazy. Simone's like that too. I let him stay in my apartment for like a month and a half once. I was on the road, and he stayed for like 2 weeks. He goes, no, I got to get my mail. I'm like, get your mail. What?
I think it's a primal thing. You got to get back to that cave. I don't know. I feel like cobwebs are growing. The fridge is leaking. Or the toilet's running. I don't know.
I don't know how to express this to anybody except that I'm telling you, you will love it.
Okay. I mean, it feels right up my anal. I like the drinking. I like the international. I like
it's
the comedy. 100%.
Every night until you're blackout. Every single night, and no one looks down on you. They look down on you
like
going
that.
Home.
Yeah, that's great.
Dude, my first year there, I was my Ahir Shah, my roommate. He was this like nerdy fucking Indian, son of an immigrant, but like Oxbridge educated, you know, like super smart.
Right.
Like nerdy. And my second time I went there, I lived with him too, and DeRosa, and this guy just picked on DeRosa. He was like, no, you're the beta.
Smart guy. He's very perceptive.
But I was like 2 weeks straight of drinking till almost blackout. I was like, I can't do it anymore. I'm doing my show. I'm going right back to the fucking house. Went back to the flat one day. I walked in the door and he comes out of the door. Hey, Harry, my parents are visiting. We're in the kitchen drinking wine. Come on in. And I drank wine with his parents until fucking 3 a.m.
Wow. Was that fun?
It was so fun.
Oh, parents. I don't know. I'm scared of parents.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But they're cool. I realized like, oh, it's so weird. I'm like, oh, I think I might be older than your parents.
Well, were they international?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why.
They were like 14 or something.
Yeah, but that's why they're fun.
Yeah, you should do it. But anyway, we're all drinking and we were talking about friends. And how, like, two of them fucked Jennifer Aniston.
What? Oh, I got you. I thought two of your friends.
No, on the show. Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, sorry. On the show. Yeah, it was Joey Tribbiani.
And Ross. No. Joey Tribbiani and Ross.
No, I think it was Ross and Chandler, actually, was it? No, wait.
Oh, no, Chandler fucked Monica, who was someone else's sister, who was Ross's sister.
Right. Yeah, it's all very incestual.
Which, by the way, in a real friend group, it'd be like, what? You fuck that friend? It's like, well, I love her. It's like, what?
Like, yeah, so did I. Friend group. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's not realistic. But I think they just run out of plot lines. The show is like 9 years long. You got to have everybody. Eventually, people are going gay and fucking the dog. You got to get crazy. Yeah.
You can't just fuck like, oh, I met a guy that's unrelated to any of you guys. You don't know.
You want to dig a little deeper. Monica, whatever her name is, what's her name? Courtney Cox. And Jennifer Aniston both fucked the lead singer of Counting Crows, the guy with the dreads.
Around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I've been listening to that in the sauna recently. That's my fucking latest sauna jam.
That band is amazing. I love that band. The 90s band. They were really cooking with the rock. I mean, Pearl Jam and Counting Crows and Nirvana and the Cranberries and all that
shit. Counting Crows are super underrated.
Super underrated. That and album, they came and went.
August and Everything After was just like lights out.
Unbelievable. Mr. Jones, the whole thing was killer.
Yeah.
That was on at every party when I was in like eighth grade.
Yeah.
But yeah, they both fucked that guy.
Oh, yeah. So Burr told me, I was like, by the way, if that was real life, all of them would have chlamydia. And he was like, oh, dude, you got to use that on stage. I'm like, the show's been over for like 15 years, man. I don't know. But like, I love these headliners who tell you stuff and you're like, maybe, I don't know.
Well, they have no, first of all, they're geniuses and they're like so far past us skill level. So they can just go, plus it's their audience. So they can go on stage and be like, I stubbed my toe today. And their audience is like, yeah, tell us more.
Yes, I know about toes.
Yeah. I know, but you're the dumb fuck opener who's got to bring the heat. And like, you're the guy in the way of the ticket sale.
Exactly.
So, Louis would do that too. We'd be on a jet and List would say something and he'd be like, you got to do that. And List, I just told a story for 20 minutes and had a big punchline. I have 50 minutes on stage opening for you. Like, how am I going to set this up?
Yeah, exactly. It's like what you're really saying is that was funny.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing how you see your heroes and you're like, they tell you some advice. You're like, well, you're my hero. And then you realize like, oh, you're actually just a regular person and you're way wrong.
Right.
That would never work.
Yeah. And you don't want to tell them no. And also they're standing on the side of the stage going, all right, let me know when you do that Jell-O bit. And you're like, I'm not doing the Jell-O bit, but I got to do it now because Louis's watching me.
Yeah. Yeah. I try whenever I have openers. I don't know how you deal with it when you have like advice for like a newer comic. Like you're like, yeah. I see a mistake here, but I try to couch it in this idea of like, dude, do what you want. I have no idea. This is just a suggestion, but I honestly don't care. I have to like really go overboard. Like I don't care at all. It's just something I thought of.
Same way. I like to try to have fun with the openers and be a fun headliner. I don't want to be that scary guy. And one time I'm not going to say who he was, funny young guy, open for me. I could tell he was excited to be there, and it was his first time working the club. And we go out drinking one night, and I'm trying to get like connected with the guy. Like we're trying to be folksy, and I go, hey, man, how about this? We take a new idea brand new joke we've never said before, and we have to put it in the set tomorrow. And he's like, all right. And we're drunk, and we shake hands on it. Like, got to do it. Got to do it. Never said it before on stage. Put it in the set. And he was like, all right. So the next day comes around, full house. He opens with it, bombs. It bombs horribly, and then he stays in it. It's like a seven-minute bit, and he can't get out of it. And then he goes into his act, but they hate him so much from the big bomb up top, and he just bombs the whole thing. Got fired for the weekend.
No!
Yeah, and he blamed me. I was like, what? I didn't tell you to open with it, you chooch. What are you, crazy? Just do the bit in the middle once you're already established.
Wow. Yeah, you never open with the new.
Open, and it was about his mom dying, and it was long, and it was drawn out, and it was sad, and no pun. Oh, I mean, he's a funny guy, but it was ugly.
Open with it when they're trying to decide if they trust you or not. That's even Mitzi told me that. Mitzi was like, you never open new material. She didn't even tell me what to do. She was just like, don't open with, don't be an idiot.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Are you crazy?
And I mean, okay, if it's a zinger, a one-liner, you had some observation about an Uber you got out of just now, but this was a sad mom died chunk, and he could not.
Middler, who's, by the way, they don't trust him. They don't know him at all.
Exactly.
It's not like you're a headliner where they come to see you and you try something for 40 seconds. Like, anyway, well, that was something that happened today. Yeah. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. And he went into his A, but it was too late. He couldn't dig out of that grave.
Dude, it's really empty out there.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
It's great. Katz was telling me how empty it was, and I was like, really? Because when I left, it was fucking. You couldn't avoid people.
Wait, Louis Katz?
Yeah, Louis Katz.
Oh, is he around here?
He's living in the East Village. He got a new girlfriend.
Oh, hey, good for him.
Fucking dumped that sketch comic and fucking.
Yeah, yeah, good for him. Yeah. But he's got he's a funny guy who's underrated, who needs more love, I feel like.
Agreed. You know what Attell said about him?
Hmm.
You know how, like, a lot of us have, like, they call them like, they have like lineage. So like, I open for Rogan, you know, and that's pretty well known. Like, I come from his camp, you know, and like Joe List opened for Louis for a long time.
Sure.
Attell called Louis Katz, called him a Rogan. He has no master.
Oh, I would assume Attell was his guy.
I think Attell probably was. Oh, no, not his guy, but he rarely opens for Attell lately now, but not when he was developing. Nobody brought him up and like, helped just like, but yeah, Louis Katz is like way better than, you're right, underrated. He doesn't get the
completely underrated. Smart stuff, really good writing. He's got stage presence. He can riff. I don't know. Maybe it's his looks or his height.
He's
or
way
his
filthier
attitude.
Than you expect.
He's super filthy, but he's still smart. You know, much like Attell. I don't know. I'm a fan. Folks, go check him out. He's got an album or two, I think.
His This Is Not Happening story.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, really great.
I watched him work that out, and he did it at my
show. We talked it over.
Oh, good, because he did it. When I saw him doing it at my show, it was tanking, like, over and over, and that's a 10-minute bomb there, you know?
Yeah, and you got to stay in it. Those stories are tough. And I remember working with him, and it was all him, but I was just like, I don't know, man. Like, and he's like, no, I can get this. And
he pulled it out. And also, that was a whole, like, I got to get my career back. Like, that was his shot. Like, I haven't had TV in a while. I have no agent. I have no manager. You put him on your show, and he knew this is my flu game. I got to resurrect my career from this story.
Dude, it was so amazing with that show that the lower-level comics were so much better than the upper-level comics.
Oh, of course. I mean, Doug Smith,
I was thinking. Like, I went to see him, like, a few times. Like, a couple tips. It was all him working it. It was like, this is a show. I'm going to work it. And then you have, I'm not saying names anymore, but you have like a high level guy. The day of the show when I was taping, goes, I'm thinking of doing this. And I'm like, well, we're in the green room. So I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing. Do what you want. And then they bomb. And it's like,
of course.
They just think their name is enough.
Of course. And not to, I mean, that ties into the YouTube special with me and Sam. We're fucking hungry. We're not famous. We have to kill it. Our career depends on it. Whereas, I'm not going to say any names, but some big name guy who has a ton of fans and a huge following can just go put a special out, take the paycheck, and everybody's going to watch it anyway.
Dude, 2/3 to 3/4 of the Netflix, Netflix, HBO, and Comedy Central specials. I'll take Comedy Central out of it because they actually have like pretty decent comics.
They got Roy Wood. They got Chris D.
Roy and Chris D, I'm thinking of. But like, So, okay. So HBO Netflix, two-thirds of them are like money grabs or 360 deals where like, well, they're an actor on our network. Two-thirds of them. Not even like a
Jeff Garland has one, for Christ. Jeff Garland. The guy's done stand-up twice in 1978. Garland. That's insanity. What are we doing? The guy's he's a B character on a improv show on HBO. That's it. The whole system.
Sometimes you see him and you're like, sometimes I see one, I'm like, there's no way this could be good, but I'll watch. And you're like, yeah, I was right. And you do that 30 times in a row. And you're like, dude, I saw one. It was on HBO. And I asked the producers, I was like, that's going to be terrible. And they're like, no, he's really working hard. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. You know, yeah. I'm always willing to be wrong. And he was a black comic, so I'm like, maybe he's working out in like the black scene that I don't, so, you know. And then I was like, if he worked it, then I'll admit I'm wrong. I just didn't see him at clubs in New York or LA. I hadn't heard of him doing it, so maybe I'm wrong. They're like, yeah, dude, he went on the road for like a month. And I was like, no, listen to what I said. He went on the road for like a month.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, oh, fuck off. He's terrible.
It's hilarious.
It's awful.
We go to the road as our income. It's like our whole life. It's not a month.
Somebody said, like a bigger comic was like, I ran my set 50 times. And I'm like, what?
I run my late nights more than that.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about? Dude, we're on stage fucking 30 times a week.
I know. It's crazy. But
anyway, what else do you miss, dude? What else do you miss?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Jeez, we're all over the road. Oh, by the way, I want to bring up a funny thing later, but I don't know if I'm supposed to say it about Rogan. Did he go to Spotify?
Yeah, he just announced it today.
What the fuck is that?
He told me, by the way, he told me a week ago, and he was like, and then he texted me like 40 minutes later, and he was like, after we talked on the phone, he was like, hey, by the way, don't tell anybody about that. I'm like, I was like, oh, dude, I was in the middle of an interview with Vulture.com about ignorant bigots, and I was talking all about it. He was like, shut up, idiot.
So what does that mean? I mean, is it free?
It's free. It's still free.
Okay.
So he held out. Probably Tuesdays with Stories. Oh, by the way, Mark Norman's got a great podcast called Tuesdays with Stories. It does with Joe List. Everyone check that out. I've been on two or three times.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to go on another time, but then the coronavirus hit and I couldn't get in the room with him.
We're going to do a live app kind of thing. We want to have you on.
Dude, I have a great story that I want you to tag up because it's not like a worked out story.
It's just a
crazy thing that happened. And I actually want you guys to tag it, which is what you do. You guys interrupt and fucking tag it. I know normally with guests, they're not the best, but I think I vibe with you guys enough.
Yes.
I went to this fucking gay sex club in Berlin and I want to fucking.
Ooh, I like it already.
For two sets of stories. But
that sounds like a Duran Duran lyric.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm in a tunnel here.
That's all right. It's fucking patois. Wait, what were we saying?
Oh, wait. So, Rogan, Spotify.
Oh, so when Spotify is like, hey, you can put a podcast up on Spotify. I assume, is Tuesday with Stories on Spotify?
I doubt it. We're the bare minimum of what we do. Everything is bottom of the barrel. You know, we just made it on YouTube Spotify like a week ago.
YouTube's harder because it's a video, but like.
Right.
But like, yes, it's Spotify. It's open source. You can just put it on there. Anyway, I did. Rogan didn't. He was like, no. And it was, I remember the time. I was like, why? It was like a year and a half ago. I was like, why? It's just like another platform. He goes, nah, I'm just not going to. People already follow me. And it's weird because like, so remember how UCB, there had a problem where it's like, people are lucky to be on our stage. And it's like, okay, maybe at a lower level. But Sarah Silverman and Zach Galifianakis are not lucky to be on your stage. You're lucky to have them. You're actually benefiting from them showing up.
Yeah, of course.
You know? So Rogan was like, I'm not looking for more people to listen to my podcast. You guys are looking for me to bring people over to your platform.
Of course. You know? Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting that way now with headlining where it's like, oh, I'm drawing for you guys.
Right.
So you got to pay me more. You can't just like say like, you know, we're giving you some cash. It's like, no, I'm bringing in 50 people a night regardless.
Yeah, you're benefiting. I'm not benefiting.
So he was like, no. And eventually they were like, yeah, we'll pay you. We'll come over here. But you have to bring it just over here. So that way people like need to get Spotify.
Well, they must have given him 8 zillion, trillion, billion dollars, right?
I have no idea what the exact amount is, aka I am not going to tell you what the exact amount is. but like, yeah, eventually they were like, I love it. It's like, I don't need you. You need me. Pay me.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's completely fair. I think it makes sense. But what are we talking more than 10 million?
Here's the deal. He is going to be over there exclusively.
Oh my God.
All his fans. And by the way, Spotify's free. So you can just get it. But all his fans, it's not like Howard Stern going to Sirius where like he lost 90% of his followers because like I'm not paying this much or getting into my car.
Right.
You just like I was using Apple Podcasts. If that's the one podcast I listen to 3 hours times three times a week, I will have to get Spotify.
But I thought it was $10 a month. I always thought it was
for no ads. For no ads, it's $10.
Oh, so you will have ads now. But I guess you had ads with YouTube.
I got my mom on it. We got her a fucking a little one of those Bose speakers. But first, I had to get her on Spotify, and she's like, "Well, I don't know. It's gonna be advertised." I'm like, "Mom, you listen to radio right now. There's ads 12 minutes."
I know exactly. So
she's finally starting to use it. I'm like, "Don't pay anything. Just get used to it, and then say, is it worth $10 to not have ads?" That's all.
Wow. Yeah, so
all his followers are going to be like, I'll definitely download a free version of Spotify and get it. Yeah. Who cares?
I think it's going to hurt numbers still just because people are such simple idiots, but he's got such loyal fans. Mm-hmm. Also, he's going to get your Elon Musk. Someone else will get. He's going to get your Bernie Sanders. But
you know what benefits them? Yep. It benefits them because they're about to launch a video podcast.
Oh,
he's the biggest podcast. And so it's going to be like, oh, I can see Rogan. Now there's seven other things. Oh, also, I didn't even realize I can listen to all of Counting Crows right now here. Where are you, dude?
Right. Oh, this is a cool little hidden lane. It's called Charles Lane. There's Charles Street, and it turns into Charles Lane.
It's cool. And it's like empty, huh?
It's really pretty. Cobblestone, old school. It's kind of tucked away. And then
go backwards. Look at that door. Let me see that door behind you. Is that an actual fucking garage and door with a mezuzah? That's a Jew right there.
Oh wow, good eye.
Thanks.
Right here.
Yeah. What is this? Place?
Look at this. This is some millionaire's home right here.
Yeah. Right.
The garage. Zillionaire.
Jesus.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, you guys, I have video podcasts right now on YouTube. So if you go to youtube.com/skeptics, you can see what the fuck we're talking about.
And straight ahead, I don't know if it's too bright, but that's the waterfront right there.
Oh.
Yeah, the West Village, man. The best. Look at this. His own garage as well. Dang, wow.
What the fuck is this street? Is that a camera up there?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You got to have a camera up there.
This is Charles Lane, which I've never walked down. This is the beauty of quarantine. I'm just walking around. I'm discovering things I never knew existed.
So let me just tell you one thing I miss right now as I'm talking to you. This is what I find, like, as someone reminds me of something, I'm like, oh, yeah, I miss that.
We got to get back to that.
Being in New York, we don't really have to get back to it. It's just like, it'll just like center us a little bit. But like, I miss being in New York and going, oh, I've never been on this street.
Yes. You know?
Like Avenue D between 9th and 10th, or like just like randomly, you're like, oh, I've been a block over. I've never been on this street. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just like fresh and new. Even though you're around that shit a bunch, you're still like brand new.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you walk up and down Broadway or 6th Avenue, but for some reason, you just never went down 29th. You know, and
right.
29th looks like a whole other world, like another country.
Yeah, and you're like, what? There's a yarn store?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
What are you missing? You must talk about with your girlfriend, where you're like, I wish we could.
I mean, I miss so much. I miss the road a lot. I miss getting in a hotel. I miss the going into the. I feel bad because my stuff's so comedy related because that was our whole life.
It's not. Here's why. When you said the walking after the show's going to diners and just whatever.
Yeah.
It's like regular people do that too. They go to diners. It's just not after a comedy show, but it's after like the movies.
Right.
We're more relatable than you think, but.
Okay. What about when, you know what I really miss and it's going to be fucked is the, when summer starts to come into New York and I love dusk. I love when that, you know, those hot New York summers and then the sun starts to go down just a little bit. There's still some light and everybody's out. Everybody comes out of their house. It's beautiful. It's magic hour. Everybody's got a beer in their hand. Every restaurant is full. They're sitting on the sidewalk. Every bar has the windows open, and you can hear that murmur and yell from the people in the bar, like just talking and yelling and laughing, yeah, spilling out into the streets. Love that. That's magic to me.
It's great. And you don't even have to go into the place. You just like see people like revelry doing revelry. Yes. And you're like, wow, cool.
Yes. Like Second Avenue has that great of like, I don't know, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th Street, where it's just restaurant row and everybody's out there.
Right where Cabin was and up.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And they got the girls in the sundresses and the wind's blowing.
Oh, the girls in the sundresses in the best.
They got their mimosas up there and they're giggling. And you go, I'd love to fuck her, but I never could. And, you know, I love the waft of food coming out of the restaurant. You see the waiters in the white shirts. They bring the food out. And I love
everyone's having frosés.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like when Obama won, you know, the city was in like this crazy celebration and everybody was outside. It was like Mardi Gras. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Ah.
Do you remember when Trump won, how opposite it was?
Yeah, it was so weird because no one saw it coming.
And New York is such a bubble. So they couldn't imagine it coming. And they just got two wins in a row. So it had been, 11 years since they had a loss.
Right, right. Yeah.
Like, if you're 30, you're like, I don't know. It was like 19 the last time we had a loss. I don't know. Or 18.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It was a gut check. It was like, oh, wow, America's not just here. It's a big place, and people don't all agree with you, you New York pretentious bastard.
Yeah, I remember somebody. Somebody that we, whatever. Some chick comic, and she was like, I can't believe Trump won. It's ridiculous. I'm like, oh, you've never been out of your limo.
That's a great way to put it.
You got to go to Dayton, Ohio. It's like,
yes,
white people who are poverty stricken.
Right.
It's not about racism. It's about like we need change. It's nuts.
Yeah, they work at a mill or a factory, and they're sick of being called racist, and they're on Oxycontin and meth and all this shit, and they fuck their sister, and yeah, that's most of it, actually. You know, we act like since every disaster movie takes place in New York or L.A., that this is America.
Yeah, you got to go out there. You got to go to Webster, New York.
Webster, New York is crazy.
When do you think we're going to have stand-up again in New York? I mean, God. You're not an expert. No one knows. It's going to come back. It's not going to, whatever, but like...
Yeah.
De Blasio said early June we could be open for small things.
I think it's going to come back real weird, real slow. But then once it's back and everybody's fine, I think it'll slowly come back and then it'll be fine. It's going to be like 9/11. You know, people are like tiptoe. I ain't flying. Fuck that. I'm never flying again. Boy, you can blow me. I'm not getting out of Delta.
True.
And then,
true,
you know, snap your fingers. Everybody's at the airport eating a fucking Cinnabon with their shoes off.
I didn't even think about this. The last like in person podcast was with you.
Yes.
At my studio. The only fucking studio podcast I did at my studio. I fucking set this whole thing up. And by the way, I was the day after. I was like, all right, let me call Schultz. Let me call fucking Liz. Let me call Michelle. Let me see who's in town. DeRosa, who can come over there? And then I was like, actually, let's shut it down for a week. Let's see how this plays out.
Sure.
It got worse. But what we were talking about is like, at the time, it was just kicking into coronavirus, like March 17th, 18th.
Yeah.
Like 20 deaths in New York. And we're like, Well, now it's kind of silly to be mad about or shit like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm trying to find a wall here. Nope.
Jesus.
All right, there we go. We're back. I'm right by the water, so it's kicking up.
Oh, right. How long do you think it'll take to come back the anger at word choices?
Oh, that's when we know we're really back in the swing of things. Because being angry about the word is such a luxury.
It's a luxury.
So when you're mad at it, it means you got no other problems, really.
It means your life is great if you can be mad at fucking a pronoun choice.
Exactly, because you never see people in the projects. They're never the ones complaining. It's always the blue-haired cunt at NYU, you know? And so So that's what
very few people in concentration camps were saying, how dare you say this about my past?
Right, right. Wait, before I get in this oven, we got to talk about this kike situation here. I don't like that word. Like, wait, what? No, I'm about to burn you. You know? But, yeah, so that's when we're going to know we're back. But I also like that a lot of those comics who just get preachy are really seem to be floundering. They're doing a lot of Corona talk and not a lot of Corona yucks.
Well, that's always a thing, right? It's Corona talk. But the problem is that we have so many experts on that stuff and who also don't know that it's like, guys, no one gives a fuck. Before, maybe right. Someone gave a fuck about your hot take.
Right, right.
Now it's like, you don't know anything. Your attitude and our attitude is trust the experts. So what the fuck are you talking about?
Exactly. And they must love it. Like the guys who go outside and don't wear the mask. And I ain't wearing no masks. They claim to hate these people, but those people give them ammo. That's their whole personality. It's like a cop. Without criminals, you're useless.
Yes. So they need those people.
They need those people. So whenever somebody slips up, they're probably like, thank fucking God. That's why. Ah, shit. That's why they got to buy the Louis special. They got to buy it to have more shit to bitch about. So they're spending money.
And they won't. The people who are so angry at Louis will only do it because it's free.
I don't know. Shane was behind a paywall.
You sure?
Oh yeah.
He captured it and put it out for free. Nobody actually paid for that except that one dude.
I mean, that one guy paid for it. That's what I'm talking about. There's always some snake who will pay the money just for the pat on the back. To him, it's worth it.
Yeah, he can feel like I've covered a fucking injustice.
Yes, and it only cost me $8.99.
You know how I know that guy was fucking lame? It's because he just so Joan Didion.
Yes, the writer.
Yes, okay.
I watched the documentary on it.
Was it a documentary on Joan Didion?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Wow. For sure watching.
Pretty good.
Slouching Towards Bethlehem was a book I read in college with her. And she went undercover in a fucking hippie commune.
Oh, yeah.
Uncovered, like, it's not all free love and drugs. It's like, I saw a fucking 5-year-old on acid. This isn't good. This is bad news, you guys. Yeah, she was, like, really uncovered it. But she spent 6 months with those people.
Sure.
She actually did real journalism to uncover a story.
Right.
Now it's like, I got to be first, right?
Yes.
Which I suffer from too, where it's like, I got to be first, but I'm not a journalist. I'm a dumb comic. So I'm like, let me just throw out a joke real quick. What was I going to say? Oh, I could tell that guy was an idiot and a phony because he stopped at chink when the N-word was still coming. You just had to dig a little deeper, but you were so concerned with being first as soon as he got named for SNL that you stopped at chink when you could have had a good N-word.
He had an N-word in there?
Of course he does. We all do. We all do. When it's the right time and a good podcast, we all have it. You could have dug deeper and found an N-word, but you're like, I got a chink. Let's run it.
The chink was so perfect because it had an Asian guy on SNL, so it was like black belt canceling. Like, holy, not to bring it back to Asians, but it was like, holy shit. How perfect is this? I can nail the guy with a slur of the guy he's getting the show with.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was well done. I mean, I handed it to the guy, but he stinks. He's going to die alone.
That's the thing. I kind of, on an artist level, I kind of like, remember that chick who was like, who got mad at me for saying her name on stage?
Yeah.
And she made this video and people were like, are you mad at that? I was like, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, it attacks me for sure. But as an artist, what a great piece. She wore a I'm with gay people t-shirt. She claimed her sister was raped. It was such a great piece to get people angry that I'm like, that was well done. I'm upset that it was about me, but like, well done. You got people so riled up. Good job. I can't be mad at that.
Exactly. You can appreciate the art. That's all we're trying to do here. When Quentin Tarantino cuts a guy's head off, I don't think, does he actually want to decapitate people? No, he's trying to be entertaining.
Hey, tell me about some flack you've gotten for the special for Out to Lunch with Mark Norman on YouTube.
Not much.
There's got to be something. There's got to be a small thing of like.
I got a thing about how I did this whole thing about how, talking about Kevin Hart and how he got in trouble for those gay jokes. And I put, Kevin Hart got in trouble for some offensive material. And I did quotes and some guy was like, that actually was offensive. Why is he doing the air quotes? Like,
and you're like,
ironic.
I'm doing there. Why? Because I don't think it's offensive. Can you not tell that? That's why I'm doing the Eric. What do you think I'm doing it for?
I know, but they just want me to start arguing, and then they call me a homophobe. And I'm like, how did I become a homophobe? I didn't even say anything.
I talked to Adrian about this. It was like when people try to address the factuality of your jokes. And you're like, guys, that's not even. It's like, I think the comedians, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking this. I think comedians' general line is 7%. 7% negative is like our normal. So if you go like 4%, you're like, that really is almost nothing. And if it's 9%, you're like, it's a little much.
Right. Yeah, we're just trying to make people laugh here. It's funny because they think they're the heroes, and that's what bugs me. It's like you're so out to lunch, hey, on YouTube, but you're so out of it that you don't even get that you're the bad guy, and you're so wrapped up in people liking you and people thinking you're the savior and hero that you can't see what you're doing is wrong. Sorry. I just want to say, I think everybody is flawed. Every human is fucked up. We all have two sides. You will show your asshole on a pod. You'll whip your balls out on stage. You'll say a slur. You'll say the N-word. But you're also fighting to give comics money when other people won't. You give them a place to stay in Montreal. You pay for their airfare. You pay more than anybody else. You fight. You stand up for people when no one else does. So if everybody evens out, look at Cosby, America's Dad, Sweater, Don't Curse, Pull Your Pants Up. He's raping people. So everybody evens out. And I'd rather a guy even out by being nice, giving other people money, helping out the less fortunate, and say fag every now and then. To me, that's a better evening out. You see what I'm saying?
I do, and I appreciate it. Hey, can I side note here for a second?
Yeah.
I get a lot of E-rages, I call them.
E-rages. I like that.
E-rage, you know?
Yeah. When
it's just like online, people get super mad at you. I've had a bunch in my time. I enjoy them on one level, and I don't enjoy them on another level. The latest one I got, Mark, you were the only guy who went super hard defending me.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, Schultz
defended me somewhat too, but like the one I saw with you, I was like, I don't understand why everyone can't be like, you don't even have to take a side. All you got to do is just like, that's a comic making a joke, and you guys are way off base. And I appreciate it, man. I saw it, and when everything was crashing down around me, and it made me feel good to see you, to a group of people that you didn't know that were just trying to attack me. You were just like, nah, guys, that's a comedian making a joke. It made me feel good. I appreciate
you
for that.
You're welcome. And it's the autism talking, because I can see the bullshit from the jizz. Like, I don't know what it is about Kobe, but everybody's blowing this guy when he dies. We have the biggest celebration of all time, or the biggest mourning of all time. And then Joe Schmo dies and nobody cares. And I'm like, so this is just some sheep mentality. Like, oh, Kobe's up here. Okay. And this guy's down here. All right. Well, they're all buying into that. I'm not buying into it. He's just another guy who died. And the other guy's another guy who died. What's the difference?
What I say, that's my whole thesis. It's like, guys, that celebrities aren't better than us.
But yeah, it's just sheep, like foot soldier lemming thinking. Like, oh, Kobe's the big one. We can't talk about him. Why not? Why him and not him? I don't get it. But they have some dumb reasoning. But the only reasoning they have is, well, that's what the news was saying. That's what that guy said. And I read his Instagram post. So I can see that he's just another guy. And they can't see that.
Yeah, like, that's what it is.
Who else did you make fun of that died? You made fun of Mitzi.
Everybody.
Everybody, yeah. So they never got on you for that. Why not? And that's where I come in. It's like, why this and not that? Which one is it? The logic. Like, I need the logic.
How dare you? That man died. How dare you? It's like, no, you just like him. It's like they proved my point, but it's like, ugh.
Right.
My favorite is like, that the man and his daughter died. And I was like, and seven other people whose name you don't know. And exactly. That proves my point. Seven other exactly. human beings whose lives are just as valuable.
I know.
Yeah,
I
whatever.
Know. It's like that great Larry David moment. He goes, how could you say that about my son? He goes, I took a risk. That sums up all of comedy for me. I've said a million horrible things. I've been kicked out of places for saying shit. I've been slapped. I took a risk.
Yeah, you got to go for it. You got to go for it. Because here's the thing with comics who are like, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. It's like, well, what kind of world, or even commenters, like, what kind of world do you want where comics don't take risks?
I know. Exactly.
People are like, well, this went too far. It's like, okay, well, that's fine. So don't like it. That's fine. But like, to go hard against it, you're telling young comics, don't push the line.
Right. It's another comic did it, and I'm not going to say her name, but she was like, look, I'm up for any kind of joke, but I don't support Me Too jokes. And I'm like, well, then you don't support jokes. What, because you're a woman who's like a feminist or whatever the hell? We can't joke about the thing that bothers you? How entitled is that? You're out. You're out of the club now.
I told you what Sarah Silverman said.
Shit, I forgot my train of thought because you had a good point.
The Me Too jokes, you're out of the club?
Oh, yeah. You're out of the club, and I don't trust you, your comedic ability, and I think you're irrational. You know, like I had a point, but I forgot it. But yeah,
you
can't just pick and choose, is all I'm saying, because it affects you now. And it just happened to be in the Me Too era, like right when all that shit was going down. So I don't know. Maybe we're numb or autistic or what? Or are we just sane? I think I'm just sane.
Well, Rogan told me once, he was at a party with friends, and I've had other comics say the same thing. You probably have some, especially through your girlfriend, some, I call them normcore people.
Okay.
They're normal. They're not comedians.
I thought it was my fan base, normcore.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Normcore.
I like that.
I just call them normcore. It's like, you know, people have day jobs. They put on a tie.
Sure.
You know?
I like that.
Yeah. And they're not like us. They don't say the darkest things in the world.
Right.
And sometimes we go too far for them. And they're not even supposed to show up at the stand. Even the stand is too far for them. Forget about comedians speaking. The stand is too much. So, like, they're normcore. It's okay to be normcore. It's fine.
Sure.
But sometimes Rogan said this. He said something around his friends, around his wife's friends, and they're all looking like aghast at what he said. And he realized, like, oh, yeah, you guys aren't comics at all. I was trying to say something super dark for the sake of that, and they couldn't get it. And it's just like, yeah, it's not for you. I don't know. I was going to say about Sarah Silverman, it was actually a good thing about Sarah. Some interviewer, I quote her all the time on this, some interviewer asked her, like, are there any jokes you won't do? Because she's offensive.
Sure.
That's her shtick, you know? She's
she used
offensive.
To be.
Yeah.
I don't know if she is anymore.
True. Whatever. I don't know if she is anymore either, but she used to be like, intentionally offensive. And people are like, is there any jokes you won't do? She goes, yes, I will not make fun of a woman's weight because
I remember
I think that women are unfairly judged by their looks. And when you make fun of their weight, it's saying this is your whole value and I can take away your whole value. And so like, oh, so you must get mad at like people who make fun of people's weights, huh? And she goes, oh, no, don't get me wrong. She goes, I don't make fun of their weights, but I'd be a complete hypocrite if I told other comics what to say.
Ooh, all right, I respect that.
Absolutely. It's like make your own fucking line. It's like maybe when I'm around my dad, I don't want to hear a Holocaust joke.
Right.
I'm never going to be like, hey, dude, that wasn't cool.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. And to go back to your normcore thing, I think it's weird, too. Like, not only can you not say certain things because you'll terrify a group of people, but even if you say a thing they agree with the wrong way, they still get upset. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. Let's say people go, black people are marginalized. They're held down in this country. And you go, yeah. And then you go to a Four Seasons. You see a black guy and you go, hey, look, there's a black guy in here. How crazy is that? And everybody goes, whoa, are you fucking racist? I'm like, no. They're marginalized. They're held down.
I'm trying to say great that you overcame.
Yeah, but you're like, oh, you can't have a black guy in the force. No, you said they're marginalized, and I'm agreeing with you. So if I see one in an expensive
hotel,
it's cool. But then I'm saying the exact same thing you said because I'm not saying it in the exact language.
How great is it when you see, and by the way, how about this for a joke? I can't do it. Black people are marginalized, but they're also, there's something here. They're susceptible to diabetes. So black people should be marginalized. I got to work it out. It's something there. It's going to be tough. It's tough. Okay.
I don't know. Margarine.
Instead of butter. They should be eating margarine instead of butter because they have like obesity.
All right. Obesity is better than diabetes.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm with you. I say tweet it.
I'll work it out. Yeah. Yeah. But, do you ever see like someone arguing online, like on a tweet you might, and then somebody's saying like, this is wrong because of this. And somebody else like, how dare you say this? And then you realize like, you just sit back and watch. You're like, you're both on the left yelling at each other, and you're on the same side, and you don't realize that you're on the same side eating your own.
I know. As a lefty, it's embarrassing, and I want to distance myself from those people. It's brutal. And Norm Macdonald is the best joke about it, about the whole sheep mentality thing, where he goes, he's like, oh, it's just the gay pride parade. And I saw a bunch of moms and dads with a sign that said, I'm proud of my gay son. And he's like, well, what are you proud of? Being gay is not an accomplishment. You know, and everybody's like, oh, my God, how can you say? He's like, well, it's not. He's just gay. You know, like if he'd said, hey, I'm proud of my son. He went to Harvard and graduated. All right, I get that.
Yes.
Your son just loves cock. That's his bit, you know, but, and it's so true. But we just get so wrapped up in the bullshit. We go, yeah, good for you, gay guy. I'm proud of you. For what? He didn't do anything.
Yeah. Somebody at New York Comedy Club. Dude, New York Comedy Club has some really good comics. Like they're the they're way younger or newer.
Who are we talking here? Give me some names. Stavros?
No. No, Stav for sure. But like, no.
He's there's older.
Just, there's just some younger, some newer comics. I'm going to say younger, but like newer comics. And it's like, it's where you and maybe even I were when we were, when the summer of LOL. Or like,
okay, okay.
You know what I mean? Just like a little bit newer when it's like real hungry, writing jokes every day. Just like
a lot of potential.
Anyway, he wrote, it was a new, actually, it was a new face at Montreal last year.
Okay.
That's what it was. It was one of the unwrapped. Fuck, I wish I knew who it was. But they said they're walking home with his son, with his like fucking 10-year-old son, and he saw two people like making out in a stoop in New York. And you're like, that's disgusting. Fucking have some fuck. They were groping each other. It's like, that's gross. Get it out of here. And then they looked up and it was two gay guys. And he's like, oh, that's wonderful. Look at that. That's amazing.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Oh, I've heard that joke. I think
it's a New York comic.
Yeah. I know you. Well, yeah, it's all these double standards. I guess you call them. Which is great about comedy, we get to call them out on it, but they hate it. They fucking hate it. Like, I have a joke about, I'm working on it, it's in my new shit, about how I was hanging out with a group of friends, not going to say their names, we're at the Cellar, and then we were all talking about what turns us on. And the gay guy was like, I like muscular dudes. And everybody's like, hey, yeah, all right, yeah, go nuts, gay guy. And the lady there was like, I like tall guys. I like dudes who are tall. And they're like, what do you like, Mark? And I was like, I like girls who are thin with big tits. And they were all like, oh, you fucking tits. Well, how come you can be shallow and I can't be shallow? What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the difference?
Yeah, you could be like, I love black chicks only. People are like, awesome. You're like, right. I love white chicks only. People are like, fuck you.
Right, or Asians. You got an Asian fit. Oh, you're sick. I like black guys. Hey, look at you, open-minded.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I love stuff like
interesting.
That.
Sociologically, it's interesting to step back. Even with my shit, sometimes when they come at me, I like to step back and take myself out of it and just look at the situation and be like, this is quite interesting.
It is. And they get so angry and you're dead nuts on logically, but there's some kind of tweak that bothers people. There's like these social norms that people can't wrap their head around. They're like, well, that's different. And you're like, ow. Because you can just tell. You're like, no, I can't. And
yeah,
that's
explain it to me.
Thing.
And they're like, well, relax. And you're like, no, explain it to me. You should be fine explaining it to me if you know what you're talking about.
Another great example of this is the Louis situation. Like Cardi B, apparently it was a news story that she would drug her like clients in the strip clubs in the champagne room and take their money. So they would knock out, they would conk out, and she'd rob them and then go home. And I'm like, well, that's worse than what Louis did. And be like, what are you saying? Are you a Louis? So I'm like, well, what's the difference? I mean, not Louis asked if he could jerk off. He asked adult women.
Yeah, they but wait, hold
yes.
on one second, Mark. Did they say no?
No, they said yes.
Oh, well, okay, then we're fine. Go ahead, then keep going.
And look, if these women are upset or hurt or whatever, I it sucks for them. I get it. It's a bummer. But like,
the real honest answer that we both know is true is they're trying to get some fucking publicity. They said yes. They thought it was funny, and now they're fucking upset because everyone's like, it's like a reality show when people cry.
Well, people act like they're so worried about it. They never know their name, by the way. You always go, who are the women? They go, you know, those comic ladies from the 90s. Yeah. Like, well, shouldn't you know their names if you're so worried about them? Also, yeah. I don't, Cardi B drugged somebody.
Wow, but,
and
you're right.
She's doing like CDC ads. Like, hey, wear your mask out there. Put your gloves on, cunts. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You drugged a bunch of dudes as a stripper. But we all love
comic,
Cardi B.
I know a comic, a rich female comic, who was friendly with Louis. And then when that came out, was unfriendly with Louis.
Yeah.
And was like, it was totally wrong. And in her autobiography, she said she lost her virginity in college. She called up a blackout drunk dude, went over to his dorm or whatever, and fucked him. He was blackout drunk, which in any case now is rape. And then is mad at Louis for getting verbal consent to
exactly.
do something.
Exactly. There's the sheep thing. We just go with the flow. Oh, we hate Louis? Great. I'm on board. Don't hate me.
You know what Shane talked about, which is interesting? We were like conversing after like, you know, that last thing for me.
Uh-huh. No.
He said he found some what he found. I got to do a podcast with him. I think I want to do it with him and Renazisi. I want to do it with him, Renazisi, and Dina Hashem. But Dina wouldn't do it.
Dina's cool. I think Dina would be up
Dina's cool. She just, I get it. She goes, I don't want to be known for that one thing. So, like, I just don't want to. Right. Which I'm like, I get it. But, like,
death threats.
Yeah. But, like, he said there's this green light situation where once people are like, oh, we can attack that person, then it becomes like, it's all and everyone.
Right.
He said he was getting people like, 7 years ago, he did this to me. And Shane was like, well, why did you wait 7 years before mentioning it? Why didn't you mention it then if you really thought it was a big deal? Because you're waiting for everyone else to attack so you can jump in?
Right, right. If this was really your big gripe in life and your big platform, why wouldn't you say it immediately? I know, it's very strange. And another thing with the Louis thing, and this is the last thing I'll say because I know it's a dead topic, but
yeah.
Isn't it more offensive to women if you ask a woman a question and she says yes, and then you go, well, let me ask you again because you're a woman, you know, you got a small brain. Isn't that kind of mansplaining to be like, you don't know what's best for you. Let me ask you again. You know what I mean? Like, he asked her, she said yes, he's a grown-up. That's it.
You know what Tripoli's take was? On something, and you must love Triple E. He says some stuff about certain people that you're like, you're going for it, dude. You really, I love when comics realize they're never gonna make it, make it, and they just fucking go for it.
Like, he goes for it. Yeah, he's a thrill.
The only one that's like that when they are making it is Bill Burr. Like, he at some point said, I'm never gonna make it, and he's like, I'm just fucking being honest, and then he made it anyway. And
yeah.
It was like, oh, good for you.
It's almost he's got the key to the kingdom. He made it through the fire, and he's still allowed to be hanging around. He's in there.
So Tripoli said, when women are drunk, they can't give consent, right?
Yeah.
So that's a standard thing. They say you can't give consent if you're drunk. So that if you have sex when you're drunk, that's rape.
Yes.
So his take is, it should be illegal for women to drink alcohol. Because you are putting yourself in a position of getting raped if you fuck. And that should be illegal.
Right. That's fucking hilarious. And very interesting. And we're doing it to protect women. You can't drink, Susan. Your own good. You'll get raped.
Yeah.
Well, you ever heard Kevin Barnett's joke? Rest in peace, Kevin Barnett. He said, I read some like pamphlet about rape, and it said, if a woman has had 2 beers or more, it's already considered rape. But he goes, shit, well, I've never not raped.
Thank God he's gone.
Yeah, maybe they canceled him to death.
I love that. Oh, we got to get back on topic. But I love that on where they were mad at comics, but they didn't know how to, like, justify that because they couldn't attack black people yet. Now they've attacked black people, but by then it was like, I should only attack white men.
Right, right.
And the one article, it was about Sam Arill, and it started that. It was dear all male white comics. Jokes are not allowed. And it was wait, black male comics? White females can make rape jokes? Like, what? And the point was, it makes women in the audience uncomfortable. Like, so when a woman does a rape joke, it doesn't make... When a black man does a rape joke,
I know. Uncomfortable? It's like men are scum. Okay, so we hate gay men now? No, not gay men. All right, so we hate immigrant Hispanic men? Well, no, not them. You know, it's like, what are we doing here? Also, isn't that the opposite of inclusion? Like, men are scum. And then you also say men and women are the same. So then are you scum as well? Like, I got too many questions. Damn it. Hello.
Okay, you're back. I'm back.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened either. But there was this chick at CBS, and it was like, I don't care if a few men, because it was like, better 1,000 guilty men go free than 1 innocent man go to prison. You've heard that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this chick at CBS, I think, said, I don't care. You know, I don't care if a few innocent men are convicted unnecessarily. What a great background right there. And then somebody goes, you don't care if a few black men are convicted innocently? And she was like, no, I just said men. And like, well, you said men. Some men are black men. Let me see that mural.
Wow.
Let me see that.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool. So I know somebody had to paint that. It's insane.
With a third eye? Who is that? Let me see it. Wow.
Yeah, George. Pretty. This looks like a Duncan. This is what Duncan Trussell's brain looks like. I feel like this is what's happening in his head all the time.
You see Midnight Gospel? It's so good, dude. When you're high, it's so good. Watch it with.
I try, but watch.
Yeah, it's slow. You got to tune out. You got to let it keep going while you tune out. Wait.
Okay.
What corner is this?
This is Hudson and Clarkson. This is a really cool area. It's kind of where the village meets Tribeca.
What a fucking cool mural.
This is just a public school, too. That's the crazy part.
Wow, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And nobody looks at it. Everybody walks right by it every day.
Obey Giant? You know that whole thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So Shepard Fairey, that's the artist, and one of his thesis statements was, this is what nobody recognizes for comedian that were actually artists, but
yes.
He had a
thesis statement. It wasn't just like, well, that's a cool poster. His thesis statement was, people go by these buildings every day and don't notice them. The same warehouse every day. And if he puts up a stencil of Andre the Giant, which was Obey Giant, Andre 3,000 pounds, or whatever it was,
yeah,
500 pounds, you're going to stop and look at it and be like, what is that stencil? And then you're going to stop and go, what is this fucking building? I pass this building every day for the last 2 years. What is this building? And you're going to try to notice your surroundings.
Right.
And so the Obey Giant project was to like take a second, stop and notice your surroundings.
Sure.
And those murals, I'm like, that was cool as shit. Like, what the fuck was that even on?
I mean, this is a whole different ballgame than Obey Giant. But yeah, this
is that guy stuff. He did the Michael Jackson one of the East Village.
Cobra with a K.
Yeah, I'm not. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy who does the Space Invader tiles? You know that guy?
Space Invader.
Oh, okay. Well, I found one the other day, and I'm walking up to it.
Love those. They're tiled, dude. They're not just painted. They're tiled.
I know. They're like in the brick.
They're crazy. It's so cool, and they're just like hidden gems of around Manhattan.
I know. I guess you watched Exit Through the Gift Shop.
I never have. I have to.
What? Oh, this the whole thing's about this. It's amazing. You got to see it. It's really well done.
So what did it say about Space Invader?
It just shows him like in the middle of the night putting this shit up, and you actually have real footage. And they show Banksy. They show Shepard.
They showed Space Invader in Exit Through the Gift Shop?
Yeah, they're all in there. All the big ones.
Wow. Interesting. It's really well done.
All right. Hold on. About a half a block, and I'll be popping up on it. And Nobody else notices this shit.
I went to, this is how fucking dumb I am. I went to the Glastonbury Music Festival and performed. And before I went, I saw the Beyonce documentary about her performance at Glastonbury, and it was blow me away.
I mean,
if you're any kind of artist, comedy included, you should watch it. It's her and it's a break even show, money wise. It's her going, this is the biggest music festival. This is the prime music festival. I'm going to give these people a show. And for months and months for the show. One show. Anyway, finished. By the way, so I was like, in my head before, I was like, hey, this is the Glastonbury Music Festival. I'm going to fucking put on a show. I'm going to fucking go for it. And I went up and I ate a fucking dick for fucking 20 minutes.
Wait, where is that? Is that Scotland?
No, it's England.
Oh, I've never heard of that place.
Glastonbury?
No, Glastonbury, no. I know Liverpool and Manchester, and I'm out.
The city you don't know. It's just a music festival.
Oh, okay. All right, here. Can you spot it?
Wait. Don't move. Yep, right over the T.
The Pay-O-Matic, yeah, look at that. I don't know how he got up there. I don't know when he did it.
How did he get up there? That's in between two people's apartments.
He threw a ladder up. I know. They must have been freaked out.
He does tile work. Can you zoom in on that? Or can you go over there?
Let me go closer.
Jeez, crossing the middle of the street like it's nothing. Right next to people. Space Invader, yeah.
Look at that. Oh, it's like a little word bubble.
What does it say? By the way, youtube.com/skeptic. I'm a little drunk now. /skeptic tank. And you can see all this.
There you go.
It's so cool. They're small and they're so fucking hidden and cool. Oh yeah, it's a word bubble. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and if I lived there, I'd be like, and I heard the guy tinkering, I'd be like, oh yeah, go nuts, and I'd get a photo with him.
No, first you'd be like, get the fuck out of here, and then you'd be like, no, I'm a guy who does this, and you'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool.
That's true. You gotta show me the tile, buddy.
Yeah, that's all Wayne Raider shit. Anyway,
what do I miss? Yeah, I miss the little things.
After Glastonbury, I went to Bristol. It's right outside Glastonbury. Glastonbury's farm town. And the guy dropped me off, and he said I had to catch a bus to the airport in like 4 hours. And he goes, hey, just so you know, the very first Banksy is down that street about three blocks.
All right.
So I was like, well, I'm going for sure. That's one thing I'll do. I got to get something to eat. And I went, and I couldn't find it, and I was too embarrassed to even ask anybody, where is that Banksy?
I get that, because you're already the tourist douche American. Now you're looking for the Banksy. Yeah, I get that.
But it's lame. It's like I should have just asked and seen it.
I bet you could have Google mapped that if you had a real phone.
At the time, I did not. I just started a month of no internet.
Oh, yeah, you see? You see, there are perks after all, aren't there?
Sure.
What
else do you miss doing? A pizza? What else are you like, I want to do that?
To me, it's the big things and the little things. You know, to me, it's not like getting a slice of pizza. That's in the middle. I like the big things of like being able to just live your life. Like, all right, I'm going to fly to Puerto Rico. Like me and my lady would just get a cheap flight sometimes. Like, oh, look, Italy flights are like half off. We just go to Italy every now and then.
Did you go?
We went to Italy. We went to the Amalfi Coast. We went to Paris once. We went to Puerto Rico once. We went to Vancouver once. Like, fuck it. Let's just go. We'll set aside some time in 2 weeks and just go. Get an Airbnb. And
really?
Yeah, it's super fun, but you just can't do that stuff anymore. I hate the constrictiveness. Like, you're just shackled to your apartment. And so that kind of stuff I miss. And then I miss the little things. Like, I used to steal from the airport. You know, I'd go to Hudson News, and I'd snag a bag of almonds.
That is the best, dude. I just did a podcast about with Joey Diaz about Becky cut my video out right there. I think I showed my dick by accident. I did a podcast with Joey Diaz about stealing. And in the podcast, I was like, it's not just Joey Diaz. And I mentioned about me and you going to a movie. I don't know what movie it was, but you stealing this fucking
beef jerky.
Beef jerky! Yes.
That was the ghost movie. That was the ghost movie. Yes.
Was it?
At the Angelica or wherever the fuck we were.
Because it was just me and you there. Did we meet List afterwards?
No, we met him there and went in.
Oh, and me and you were at the snack bar. He was like, I don't want anything.
Cool, because it was a full bag of beef. Like, that was not an easy heist.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, you love stealing, dude.
Well, only from corporations. I try not to steal from homes or anything, but I get a thrill and it's easy, and after a while you're like, why am I paying for this?
Yeah, it's not even like, yeah. I'm like you, dude. I start to justify it, and then like actually I just want free stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy. I mean, what a world. Our whole economy is based on money trading hands, and I just ruined all of it with this jacket I stole or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But fuck them. What, shareholders going to get a little less dividends this year?
I know. I heard that Walmart factors in the theft.
They all do. So instead of if a belt costs $20, it should cost $18.75, but they factor in this many thefts, so they have to price it a little higher. And I'm like, okay. But
all right.
My theft is only charging everybody 1 cent, so whatever. And by the way, they're going to charge up regardless of if I steal this or not. It's already factored in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what I miss is a good pool party.
Wait, who has a pool party anymore?
I don't know. I actually haven't gone to a pool party in 10 years, but I just thought of it. I mean, it's summer's coming. You know, you get that sun on your back. Your friends are there. You do a cannonball.
How about I'll give you one? How about a fucking, this can't happen anymore because I moved. How about an Ari Shaffir backyard barbecue?
Backyard barbecue. Come on.
Those were so fun. Those were so fun. It's the only reason I wanted that backyard is so I could have a fucking 3 times a year. Let's meet up and drink and smoke cigars and just live like fucking free men. Like in fucking, what's that movie with Shawshank Redemption. We're like, we were free men that day. The beer was piss warm, but we felt the free men.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what that Italian lady was saying, but it was beautiful or whatever the hell. Yeah, that was great. And you're the only, that's what's great about you, is you will do shit. Like, other people are like, I'm going to buy this backyard. We're going to have 18 cookouts a week. And they never have fucking
been to Corinne's house?
Yeah, exactly. Me neither.
Fuck her.
She better have a party when this shit opens.
Have a fucking party. Yeah. I love that.
Just the freedom of New York, just the walking around I miss. I mean, I'm walking around right now, but I miss, like, popping in from place to place. I was on my motorcycle going from the stand to the cellar or the wind in my hair, and it's all gone.
I like getting high, walking around, because I have no responsibility daytime. When it was between April and October, getting high, walking either north, south, whatever, finding myself in Chinatown and like, well, here's the tea shop. I'll go in here for 40 minutes
Right.
Just walking, and like there were stores open enough that you could actually like, this finds my fancy.
Right.
A thrift store. Whatever.
Oh, I love the thrift store.
You're not even going to buy anything because you don't want to carry it, but just to look.
Yes, it's a feast for the eyes.
Let me look through some records and like, ooh, this is a good record. Like, actually, I'm not going to be home for about an hour. I'm not going to buy this.
Yeah, I'll spook you out as a Jew. Every now and then I'll pop into a big Catholic church just because, what the hell? Let's see what's going on in here.
Really?
Oh, I highly recommend it. I mean, there's a mass going on. There's an old guy yelling. There's holy water. They're hitting you with the shaky thing. You got to try it. I mean, just the energy in there is wild.
What shaky thing?
They got this big stick, and they dip it in holy water, and then they hit you with it, and you get little spurts of holy water. It's pretty weird.
Like the plaza, the fucking Russian baths? Like, what do you mean?
It looks like a Louisville slugger, but it's like got some bullshit designs on it, and it's wet, and they kind of fling it towards you, and you get squirted with little holy water droplets, and it's supposed to be good for you. It's all silly. The whole thing's dumb.
Yeah, but it's so interesting.
It is, and you have to pretend like you're not flinching. You're like a girl in a porn. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah, thank you. I like all of this, even though you're miserable. Yeah, exactly. Why can't one porn woman make that look realistic? Everyone's like, ah, you know it's coming. Why are you flinching?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, the best porn I ever saw was, because I like real, so that's why I like amateur or even right. Hidden camera porn.
Right.
It was a guy fucking a chick on a couch. He was like on his knees in front of the couch. The chick was sitting on the couch. And another dude was fucking a chick on a piano over to the left or something.
Wow.
And he finished, but didn't finish. He was just done. Came around behind the couch to like come.
Yeah.
Came in the chick's hair. Who didn't know was coming. She got so fucking angry.
Oh, that's great.
And it wasn't being faked at all. Who's that dude behind you?
These are people who live here. These are residents. Maybe some takeout here.
What is that place? Where are you?
That's called the Little Owl. Right now I'm on Bedford and Grove.
West Village, man. I have numbers and letters. You got like names. I always get lost up there.
It truly is a village, and I only know it now because of the quarantine, but I got this place down like the back of my asshole.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is a cute little place to live. I'll tell you. I mean, if I went to Amsterdam and I saw this, I'd be blown away. So I always got to remember that. Like, just because you live here doesn't mean it's crazy looking.
Dude, I had some chick I was boning. I think she was English and some level of English. She came to visit, and I was like, yeah, come hook up, you know, for fucking 4 days.
Sure.
We were walking around the East Village. It was Puerto Rican Day.
That's
we're
not good.
Around little Puerto Rico, like deep in like Avenue C or so. And and there was just some like music get together / parade festival, you know, whatever. She's like, let's go in here. I was like, why? She's like, but it's cool, it's new. And I'm like, oh yeah, like when I'm traveling, I'm like, this is amazing, a street fair.
Right.
Like, she had that, and I was like, why? And it's just like it's fun seeing through the world through like a foreigner's eyes.
Totally.
Where you live is amazing, Mark.
Right. But I got to keep reminding myself. But I also think that's the beauty of having a kid. You go, this is ice cream. They go, what the fuck? This is unbelievable. And you're like, I know, I get to show you this.
Dude, I was with my nephews, and we were bowling. It was like, everyone's in town for some reason. It was like 2 years ago. And it was right after my last special. So it was 27th July, August of 2017. And everybody after was like, let's go get frozen yogurt. A couple doors down from this bowling alley, and I was like, you can go fuck yourself with frozen yogurt. I'm a New Yorker. Let's go get some ice cream.
Yeah,
and I was like, who wants to go with me with Uncle Ari to go get ice cream? And one of them was like, I'll go. And someone else was like, can I come too? I was like, sure. So we went to Baskin Robbins. Nothing crazy. I'm a gelato guy in New York, you know.
But
we went, and we're getting ice cream, and then the lady behind the counter is like, do I recognize you from somewhere? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And she was like, somewhere. I'm like, I'm a comedian. She goes, yes, that's really special.
Nice.
My nephews were like, it's so cool. And I was like, anyway, that's cool. Yeah, can I get a picture? I'm like, sure. And she goes, I was like, all right, how much do I owe you? She goes, it's on me.
Oh.
And my nephews were like, you get free ice cream?
Wow. That's like free pussy for a kid.
And it was $6, you know? But it was like, right. To them, it was like, you're the coolest people I've ever met.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Well done. You can't beat that. Now you got to go back in and start Venmoing that chick.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the cool local now. Well, dude, I don't know what else we can talk about, but
yeah, I miss everything. Is the bottom line. I miss. Don't get me started on like road hookups.
Oh God,
those days are over. But my God, those are. I sometimes, this is how sad and annoying and gay I am. I'll lay in bed, and to put myself to sleep, I'll start thinking about old hookups I've had. I've got like quite a Rolodex, and it's just so fun because it's so exhilarating and it's so real. It's so visceral. Vagina, pussy, boo.
Jerk off to it or water.
Oh, yeah.
Your chick, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even better.
I was remembering one the other day. It was a chick. I was smoking pot with a girl and her boyfriend, and she was young. And he was like, hey, she'll blow you, man. And I was like, really? Cute blonde chick, and yeah. I was like, okay. He goes, yeah, for sure, she'll blow you. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, yeah, I'll go. Should I stay in the bathroom or should I go to my car? I was like, yeah, go to your car, I guess. And he went to his car, and then she started blowing me, and I was like, cool. And then I was like, I want to bone you, and she goes, yeah, okay, you seem cool. And we started fucking, and then he started calling over and over and over again. He's in his car in his parking lot. He can't get back into the hotel.
What?
Yeah. He got
really, your friend?
No.
Just a fan
and her. And he got really mad at her. She told me later because she's like, he didn't want me to like fuck you. He just wanted me to blow you. And
of course.
Wanted to fuck me. And it was just like, it was crazy. And I remember later, she told me, she was like, you can come inside me. I can't get pregnant. And I was like, okay, then great. And then like a year later on Instagram, she was like, hey, I'm pregnant. I just want to tell everybody. And I wrote her. I was like, you told me you couldn't get pregnant. I came inside you.
Is it yours?
No, it's not mine. It was more than a year later. It was like a year and a half.
Okay.
It wasn't mine. There was no threat of that. But I was like, I took a chance on your fucking 19-year-old idea that you couldn't get pregnant.
Well, believe all women. That's what I say.
But yeah, but like those things that you remember and you're like, oh yeah, that was a fun fucking wild time. I hope that was...
Yeah, that's wild. Oh man, that's
in a car. Oh, that was crazy. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I remember going up to that girl's house who lived on 60th Street, and blah. You just start going through it, and it's fucking fascinating. And there's nothing more real than banging a stranger. It's like a fist fight. It's just like so much is happening. It's like the lizard brain takes over.
Yeah, it's real. You're a fucking mammal.
Yes, yes, exactly. We're just two animals in the middle of it.
Nothing beats your Bonnaroo story from our Bonnaroo podcast.
Oh, yeah. But it must suck. Yeah, go back and listen to that. I can't tell it again. I'll get in trouble. But
dude, what did that cast of characters? It was me, you, Michelle. Who else was there?
Jay, Soder.
Big Jay, Soder.
Who By else? The way,
what an, it might have just been those. What an all-star cast of people who are not yet all-stars.
I know. And have you seen the cast years later? It's pretty rough.
What do you mean?
Well, like the comics they pick, because it's just like Bonnaroo. Wokey. Yeah.
Yeah. I just mean like the podcast we did at the time, it was like just some up and coming comics.
Oh, right, right.
And now it's like, oh no, these are the biggest comics in the world. Like these are like the main comics.
Well, they had a better sense of things back then. Now it's just so identity politicky.
Yeah, I've been trying to get to those Bonnaroo people. They're doing it in September. They're trying. I might go. Who knows? I can't go a year without doing a festival. I who knows? But like, they Live Nation got out or whatever, or not Live Nation, whoever Rocky, whoever booked it. She's like, she's out.
Oh,
so they're just
is.
Doing a little bit of like tent city shows, which I wanted to do anyway.
Sure.
Who knows? It'd be a cool thing to do though.
Oh, yeah, it's so fun. I mean, drugs and music. It's what's better than that?
We should get an RV. We should get an RV and go to Bonnaroo.
Oh, I gotta go, but I gotta tell you about Bert. Did Bert call you?
No.
Oh, I did his pod the other day, and we were talking about how much we miss stand up and how rusty we're getting and how scared we are of doing the road again. And he came up with one of his fucking Bert ideas. And
ideas, yeah.
You have to be involved, and I think we could pull this off. And then we gotta go.
Okay.
Okay. we a lot of these like red states and whatnot, or Oklahoma and whatnot, they're opening up clubs. So Texas, so he thinks, let's rent a giant house, Airbnb style, rent it up, pick five or six comics. All we do is get drunk, do drugs, and every night we do 20-minute sets, and it'll sell out because of all the comics we pick. But here's the rub. You got to work on your act together. We're all going to have writing sessions, and we're all going to punch each other's shit up. And each comic will go up and do all new shit every night, like 20 minutes, and it'll equal an hour and a half or whatever it is. But that's the catch. You can't do your old act. The audience is in on it. They know. And we'll do it for 5 nights straight. Two shows a night, 5 nights, 20 minutes
each. In Omaha or in Austin or in wherever.
Exactly. Plus, during the day, we'll do shrooms. We'll go horseback riding. We'll get go-karts. We'll go tubing.
How's it going to work with family or girlfriends?
Hey, you just say, hey, look, I've been with you for 6 years here.
5 days off right now.
Well, five. We're doing a month. Or 2 weeks or something.
Leave his family for a month?
He says he's already approved it because he's been there every second. He's built up enough credit.
Hold on.
Give him a call.
I'll give him a call. But, like, you talk to him, so you tell me. But, like, she's approved him doing it is one thing. She's approved him doing it with Ari Shaffir?
Oh, I forgot. He hasn't mentioned you yet. But we'll just bring you along, and he'll deal with it later.
I'll just tag on.
It was his idea to bring you. He's like, we got to get Ari. I was like, yeah, let's get Ari.
How fun would that be? Plus, conflicted between his old life and his new life. And I am a very key, like, borderline between his old life and his new life.
Well, I'll tell you, I think I'd bring the old life out of him. Like, we went all over the world together and drank heavily. But we got all excited on the phone. And I think it's a great idea because you realize once we get back into stand-up, we're going to be so bad, and it's going to take us so long because the shows are going to be so limited. So I want to be maybe 2 weeks is better.
You're going to leave your girlfriend for 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, she's seen me every second of every day since February. True. In a tiny apartment. I don't know. I'm just saying. It could be – even if we do a week and a half, I think it would be amazing. Remember the ski trip?
The ski trip was great, and we got such a big place that everyone had their own bedroom. Because you went ski trip the year before when we were sleeping on air mattresses in the common room.
Oh, no. I missed that one.
No, you didn't. You just didn't come skiing. But Denver.
Oh, Denver. Yeah. That was fun, too. But
not as fun as, like, let me go to sleep by myself.
Of course.
You get a five or six bedroom place, and you're there for 2 weeks. This is a great idea, Mark.
It's a great idea. It's all Bert. Remember how fun that was? He had his own shower, and he would get drunk, and we'd go in there and fuck with him while he was
naked. We're all naked in the fucking hot tub. It was like a sauna shower.
Oh, yeah, and I gave everybody a UTI.
You gave everyone a UTI from the fucking hot tub. Somebody had a fucking eye infection from being in the...
And that's when Sean Patton told us he kissed a guy or blew a guy.
We're all listening to him, and then we're like... Wait, what?
We're all telling like dirty stories, and he pulled that out. We were like, it was like a record scratch. That was great.
Oh, it was fun, Park City.
All right, I gotta go. My phone's about to die.
Yeah.
But yeah, good stuff.
You. I'll see you soon.
You too.
I'm gonna call fun. Bert. Yeah.
Yeah, call Bert. Let's get it going.
All right.
Yeah, I miss you. That's what I miss. I miss comedy. I miss going out. I miss freedom. And I took everything for granted, and now I understand what I had.
It is nicer now. We will appreciate things. When I got back from Asia and I used real toilet paper, I was like, this is amazing. And I didn't notice it before. There's going to be a lot that I'm like, this is cool for at least a year.
Yes. And when somebody gets annoyed by the word gook, we'll know, hey, we're all back.
Yeah, exactly. So Mark Norman, everybody, watch a special on YouTube right now. It's completely free. Go to Mark Norman, put in Mark Norman out to lunch, and watch his fucking special. Throw it up on your TV. It'll be a way better experience. Whoever's in your house right now, say, hey, guys, we're going to watch a comedy special right now. And let's have some fun. Let's do it as friends. If you have friends, if you're alone, why don't you call your friend and be like, hey, let's play this at the exact same time. On 1, 2, 3, play. And we'll watch it on the phone together and just fucking enjoy a great comic at the fucking prime of his career doing great stand-up comedy, making amazing jokes. You will learn nothing about Mark Norman. He's completely impersonal. He's a great joke writer. So fucking watch Out to Lunch right now with Mark Norman on YouTube. Mark,
wow, thank you.
Fucking thank you great very spiel. Much. Yeah, great spiel. All
thank right. you. And that, this is a hell of an ep. I would listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. We got in everything.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Have fun.
All right.
See you later, buddy. I miss you.
You too. Praise Allah. Please, comedy. Take it easy.
Bye. The episode, everybody. Thank you very much, Mark Norman, for coming in. Are You Fear Skeptic Tank, episode 387, possibly 6. Over and out. Next week, I'm going to have a fucking really good one with someone who's been going to the Hong Kong protests on the streets. Comedian, lives out there. So fucking tune in for that. Subscribe now. It was a fucking good one. Funny, but like, interesting. Back to one of those classic Skeptic Tank episodes where we discuss a topic. And that's it. Guys, I hope you actually did press pause and fucking go watch Mark Norman's special. Walking in LA. Nobody's walking. It's true. Nobody walks in LA. Dude, I used to go to Whole Foods from where I lived. Sunset and La Cienega. I lived right there in the corner. And I'd walk to Whole Foods. It was a fucking 17-minute walk. Multiple times, people stop like, hey, do you need a ride somewhere? Are you all right? I'm like, no, it's 17 minutes. And I'm like, well, that's pretty fucking far. I'm like, my closest subway stop at the time in New York was 11 minutes. It's not that far. It's a nice day. It's fucking beautiful in LA. Nobody walks in LA. Anyway, that's the episode, you guys. I hope you did watch Mark Norman's special. If you like this episode, fucking reach out. Let him know. Follow him on Instagram. He's on there all the time. Check out his YouTube page where you can, if you see Mark Norman Out to Lunch, that's on his YouTube page. So subscribe to his YouTube channel. Check out Two Zips of Stories. His podcast he does with Joe List as well. And that's it, you guys. I think that's it. Sheathunderwear.com. www. I don't have to include that part. Yeah. Use promo code Ari for 20% off your order. And if you could, send a personal note. I should do that. This is a fuck with this guy. You got a Jew to give you fucking two ads for the price of one. Just because I fucked up, it's fair. But you out Jew to Jew, motherfucker. That's pretty hard. So guys, send a personal note. If you do get that sheath underwear, if you use a promo code Ari, 20% off your first order. Put a note in there. I'm making this purchase because you out Jew to Jew. Send him a note. He'll see it. I guarantee you he'll see it. The guy sits there by himself with the fucking... He lives just like the end of Apocalypse Now, where he has his fucking village of people worshiping him as a white god, and he makes them fucking sew this sheath underwear all the time. He'll love it. In his fucking hut out there, in deep jungles of Laos, he'll be like, oh, I out Jew to Jew. And he'll be like, what does that mean, Mr. General? And he'll be like, get back to work! And he'll fucking behead one of them. So like the rest of them know, you don't fucking take a break on making sheath underwear. Sheathunderwear.com. Anyway, use promo code Ari. So that's the episode. Don't forget, go to my Patreon. It's fucking kicking right now. I have nothing but time. So I'm actually fucking putting a shitload into it. Probably more than you deserve. But it's patreon.com/skeptictank for $5 a month. You're getting, right now, it's fucking, you're going to get like 6 or 8 episodes this month. Oh yeah, I got to start holding that back. 4 to 6. That's more than enough. It's a fucking $1.25 an episode? No, fuck that. No, now you're out Jew and a Jew. Fuck this. I'm done with this episode. We're done. I'm too fucking pissed off. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 387. Mark Norman's 5 Things I Can't Wait to Do Again. There's a fucking box where his special is. It should pull it up right now. This is fucking ridiculous. Everyone's out Jew and a Jew. The Holocaust was real. And now you guys are paying us back by out Jew and a Jew. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck all of you. I'm done with this.